Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Did we start again? Did we do the ads again?
Man, listen, folks. I'm a retard without my little tech friend, my technologically enhanced friend.
Yeah.
I don't know how the fuck to do this. I'm just winging this shit, son.
It's the best, just guessing and flipping cues. You were able to fade the song out.
Yeah, I did a good job with that. Let me make sure that if I switch to this view, that people still hear it.
People still hear that shit. People still hear it.
Beautiful.
Whoa.
That's me. I'm a retard, bro.
You just don't know the system.
I'm a retarded person. Trust me.
I'm much
like I got in an argument with someone person. In the middle of the argument. They go, what's 7 times 40? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. We're upset at each other. I can't do math. The fuck you asked me to do math? What kind of tricks is that? Are you trying to make me think I'm stupid?
What does that have to do with it? Well, it's like, mission accomplished. I don't know. It's a lot of numbers.
I'm dumb with numbers, dude. I'm really dumb with numbers. Yeah. Yeah, I have to really force myself. Because when I was a kid, I just had really bad times in math. I thought it was so boring. I had a terrible attitude about it. I never had anybody who was like an enthusiastic math teacher. And my teachers were not terrible, terrible teachers. They just were bored. They just were uninspired. You know? They weren't really into, like, I remember one time there was a documentary on about Lake Erie. Yeah. There was this one crazy science professor in our class, science teacher, I guess, Mr. Holman. And he was always like late with the facts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's always like, you know, some shit that was true like a while ago. Yeah. He would not be like kept up to it. So this thing was about.
He just kept saying.
Yeah. He kind of. Yeah. It was about Lake Erie.
He was like, the world's not round. It's oval.
Well, he was insisting that Lake Erie was a dying lake. And I said.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, a dead lake, because Lake Erie really has been.
It's going to dry up?
It got really badly polluted.
But there's no life in it.
Yeah, I think Lake Erie had to make a big comeback, but they cleaned it up. And there was a whole documentary that was on PBS, like really recently, like the night before. And me and another kid in the class were talking about the documentary. It was like, well, we just saw something on PBS that said it's making this comeback to show all these fishermen. And they
just
showed
PBS.
Like, yes, exactly. Wasn't
some guy who went to school 40 years ago.
But he didn't even listen to us. He dismissed it. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't acknowledge that maybe there was possibly some new data that he had been like teaching some shit that somebody figured out in 1980 or something. I mean, this is some new. You know, back then, if you weren't really like on top of shit, you like really on top of what the fuck is going on in the news. If you're freeballing on stage in front of the class, telling people that, and that's why Lake Erie is a dead lake.
Yeah,
and then some kid goes. No, it's not dead. There was a whole documentary on TV, man.
And he said, fuck you.
He didn't listen. He didn't even want to acknowledge it. Whereas, like, if you said that to me, if you said there was a whole doc, if I was saying, well, obviously, I'm not.
Where'd you hear that?
I'm not PBS? A fucking teacher. But if, you know, if,
how,
if you, for whatever reason, were talking to me about that, and you brought up that PBS ran a whole documentary on it, I would have to go, ooh, I didn't see that. Oh, I would have to go, oh, wow, is this new stuff? Maybe there's some improvements. Well, that's good news. It's good news that science can actually clean up the ocean and the rivers and the lakes as well as fuck them up.
Happily surprised to hear it.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, it is beautiful that they have made some pretty significant they have had some pretty significant results in cleaning up some types of spills.
Really?
And they've introduced they've come up with new types of bacteria that actually eat oil. And can help clean up places like the Gulf and situations like that.
Yeah. You know what I heard about that pile of plastic that you always talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they say, how big is it? Like twice the size of Texas.
Right.
They said that's such a humongously gross exaggeration.
Really?
It's less than 1/100th of the size of Texas.
Really?
And they say that kind of exaggeration discredits the actual problem that's there. Because it makes people write off everything. It's humongous. Right. But Texas is massive.
Right, right. So they're just being like typical liberals?
Yeah, it's like when you hold. anyone wants to like make sure everyone knows about it.
Yeah, well,
it's like I held my breath for 10 seconds. Like, oh, that's a long time. Like somebody else wants to be like, I held my breath for 5 minutes. And you're like, no, you didn't. You went too far.
Well, you can do that. There was a guy That David Blaine guy, I think, holds the world record. Held his breath
for 5 minutes?
Oh, more than that.
What?
Yeah, more than that. I think he did something crazy, like 13 or 14 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. He's got the world record, I'm pretty sure.
Jesus.
I know that sounds crazy.
You think he trains 13 or 14 minutes?
So stupid.
Look that up.
You know where I'm getting this from? Brian Callen.
Oh, really?
I fucking love Brian Callen.
And he had a hawk on his shoulder the whole time.
Brian Callen's a beautiful person. I fucking love that dude. It might be true, though, because David Blaine, call him a magician, call him whatever the fuck you want to do. I will call David Blaine a bad motherfucker, okay, because I couldn't stand in that ice
for 3 days. Which one's David Blaine, the new one or the old one?
He's the crazy guy that would, like, hang out in a box and, you know,
just fucking live his life. Did he make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
No, did he? Did he do something like that?
Somebody did that.
He doesn't usually do that. David
Copperfield was the old one. Oh, yeah,
that's the type of guy that would make the Statue of Liberty disappear. Yeah.
Holding breath. Abduct somebody in Aruba for fucking however long.
Breath world record.
13 or 14. That'd be nuts. I couldn't do it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not so good at holding my breath.
I'm going to try it right now.
You know what Brian Ellis told me, though? That was one of the greatest things anybody's ever said. Oh, okay, 17 and a... Oh, my God!
17 and a half minutes?
No. 17 minutes, 4.5 seconds. Holy shit.
That's how long he did it for?
Yes. Oh, my God. This is insane, man. How the fuck did he do that? That's not just kind of crazy. Think of how long, like, the time is between, like, a sitcom scene starting and then they go to commercial. How many is that? How many minutes is that? Is that 7 minutes or something like that? You get two of those. Dude, plus some. That's a long time. Think of, like, an episode of Friends. Like, two of those things that, how the fucking crazy, Marsha, oh my God. Well, before they go to commercial. Think of that. He's held his breath through that whole thing. And then some.
Two of those.
Yeah, seven. Wow,
that was just 40 seconds. That seemed like forever.
Yeah, he's a weird guy, man.
He goes all the way through the first break and the second break.
If that guy was a fighter, he would be a scary guy.
David Blaine?
Yeah.
You ever see black people react to him?
No.
It's hilarious.
What do they do?
Black people still have a weird thing about magic. And they react like, no, no. They push each other and shove and run away because they have that weird thing. They just can't say, like, it's a trick. They feel strange about it. It's hilarious.
Wow.
Watch the videos. They're
scared of his magic.
They're scared of magic in general.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a racist thing to say, Arjun, if you're a black people are scared of magic.
It's a racial observation. What, do I grow up with elders teaching me that black people are scared of magic?
I watched, by the way,
I learned it.
A Jewish horror movie the other day.
What was it?
It's this new movie. Where
they thought that girl was pretty?
No, this new movie, what the fuck is it called? The Possession or some shit like that.
By the Dybbuk Box?
Yes.
You saw that?
Yeah.
I think I auditioned for it.
Did you really?
I had some small part in it. Yeah. Dude, I was like, really? Don't you know about this?
It was fucking good, man.
About them holding up a fucking, like, an evil spirit inside a box.
It was a good horror movie.
Really?
I mean, it was no Apocalypse Now, but it was a fun horror movie. I enjoyed the shit out of it. The dude from The Watchmen that looks like Brad Garrett, but he's not Brad Garrett.
Here's what I gotta start doing. Yeah, I know that guy. Here's what I gotta start doing. I gotta start going to movies and saying, this is just supposed to be dumb fun. That's all this is supposed to be.
Right.
Like Expendables or whatever.
That's all I'm down for. I'm down for, like, the Avengers and werewolf movies.
And just, like, let's root for the good guys and don't worry about it.
And I'll fuck around and see a Twilight movie with Mrs. Rogen if I get crazy. Just for a goof.
Really?
Just to find out what the fuck is going on. I'm going to go see 50 Shades of Grey, too, just to find out what the fuck is going
on with
this
culture. That's a sex book, right?
There's something going on with us, man.
Well, here's what
it is. We're not getting our rocks off.
Girls want the porn just like we want it, but theirs is not what we watch.
There's a romance porn. Theirs is a different kind of porn. Theirs is a vampire who will risk everything just to be with them.
You know, guys. Yeah, exactly. Turn down their special power.
I've had conversations with a bunch of different people about this.
But every girl's like, oh, I want that kind of love too. It's like, well, you don't get that. You don't get that kind of love. That's not real.
There's no vampires.
There's no vampires. Somebody's giving up the power. What are you?
Isn't that nuts?
Somebody told me this the other day too. It's like, that kid has been around. Who told me this? That guy's been around for 2,000 years and he's in love with a 16-year-old?
Exactly. That was me.
Oh, that's who it was. It was someone on the phone.
I said he was a fucking pervert, man.
Yeah, I was like,
a piece of shit. thousand-year-old dude hanging out with a 17-year-old girl. That's crazy.
Like, oh, that was me. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous.
That's so stupid. It's such a stupid idea that he would still be in high school.
And he's going to give up his power?
Yeah, he's got to pretend he's in high school.
For a six!
Well, I'm still in high school. Well, you can't pretend you're 18, you're out of school.
Yeah.
You can't pretend that. You look like you're 25.
Yeah, you can pass.
You can't, yeah, you can't just wander through the streets. You got to show up at school every day like everybody else.
Put a little gray in your hair and go to a bar and hang out at night with regular people who are into regular things.
Shave your head, stupid.
What, do they get your references about the count?
Yeah, you don't have to tell people you're 17. You look like you're 25. Go, just go. Go. Leave school. You can graduate this year. What kind of nonsense is that? He's got to keep enrolling in school.
Is the truant officer going to stop a vampire from running around?
It's a whole family of vampires that only eat deer.
Wait, in those,
what?
In
the fuck are you saying? You got nice people vampires that run around eating deers?
In those movies, let me ask you a question. In those movies, do they already know everything that's being taught in school?
Like, yeah, they must know this 1,000 times. Why make that guy sit there? That's like some sort of a crazy like torture.
Yeah,
like Chinese water torture. Yeah, you know, like one water drips on you, it's no big deal. But if water keeps dripping on you for 100 hours, you might lose your fucking marbles.
Like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, you might go crazy
by the year.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, what, do you transfer schools every 2 years?
Fucking vampire that doesn't bite you. What are you talking about? I want my cake and I want to eat it too.
I want that kind of love.
Idiot! I want to be a stay-at-home mom and have a career.
This is why I can't respect you.
That sounds like
this
a crazy person.
This is why
person.
You're not equals.
I want to fly and be a person. Well, you better get a plane, bitch, because you can't do that shit with your body. Can't really fly.
That's crazy. How can you want that? What do we want? Blowjob.
Dude, release.
That's it.
The release from the junkie of the penis. The penis that wants to explode squirty stuff out.
Yeah. Those movies ruin it for all of us. They ruin it for all of us.
What, porn movies?
No, not the girl porn movies.
Yeah, the girl
when
porn
they
movies.
They don't know, but they're like, I sort of expect something better now.
Well, you know, it's just they're just responding to a lack of romance. You know, there's a lot of people that don't find anybody who's really into them. You know, it's fucking hard to find someone who just, well, you're exactly what they're looking for, and they're exactly what you're looking for. Because a lot of times it's just one. Yeah. One of those is there. Like, it's the guy's into the girl, or the girl's into the guy, or, you know, someone's annoying, whatever the fuck it is.
No one's exactly what anybody's looking for.
That's so not true, dude. I know people, it's rare as fuck.
And nothing, not even like, I wish they put their socks away more. I wish they were a little more, nothing.
Okay, that's a crazy person worrying about socks. What are you doing?
I'm just saying, it's a crazy example.
We get to the bottom of Mr. Shafir's problem. Here he's trying already to sabotage with clothing. Nothing it has to do with behavior. It's all clothing now.
You know,
he's trying
like,
for anything.
That sounds like that guy, the Donald Duck. Remember the old cartoon with the Donald Duck, like scientist, when he was talking about the road rage that happens with you remember that one? And he goes,
yes.
The driver gets in the car and he just turns into this thing.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like a scientist duck.
A scientist duck. That's right.
You sound just like that. I haven't talked about that guy in a long
now
time.
Now I can never do that voice again. It's lost. It's in the ether.
You won't be able to reproduce it?
I can only do like a couple of voices, like confidently. And I have to be around them all the time. Like Joey Diaz, I'm around Joey Diaz all the time. So I can do Joey Diaz easy.
Yeah.
But it's other ones like that. I had them for a while and then they're gone, you know?
Yeah.
Like Arnold Zizi, you could do Arnold Zizi.
Arnold.
It's Arnold Zizi, the only guy you can do with just noises. You could just like, you know, it's so dumb. Like,
I've never seen that not work on stage.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's so dumb. It's a noise, but it's that guy.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think that's the. I don't can't think of any. Maybe Stallone, I guess. He's like, it's more like there's like a little bit of a noise.
Not as much.
No, yeah. There's so many movies where he was yelling where you're like, what the fuck is he yelling like that for? And normal person would be like, and he's like, just the most bizarre, like.
Did you see the remake where's the
Conan?
Sweet spot here? No, not Conan.
Where's the sweet spot?
Yeah.
Dude, wherever your fucking beautiful face is.
The remake of.
That's the sweet spot right there.
Total Recall.
No, just out of respect.
Yeah,
I already got shit from Joey Diaz for seeing the new version of The Mechanic.
Really?
Joey Diaz almost stabbed me.
Really? Yeah.
I was like, out of respect for Charles Bronson, dog, you go to that fucking piece of shit, that fucking Jason Statham, that little pansy, he's going to play Charles Bronson's character, cocksucker.
He went crazy. Was it good?
No, I didn't see that fucking movie. It was very good.
I bet.
It was very
good. Statham is one of the coolest guys.
I love Statham, and I love that dude who I don't remember his name, but he was in... He was in that movie, the vampire movie about Alaska.
Vampire movie. Oh, it's All Night Long, but
yeah, it might last for
6 months.
30 days of night or something like that.
60 days of night. 90 days of night.
120 days. 120. I don't know what the fuck it was. The vampire, whatever the fucking, somebody on Twitter was screaming at me, I'm sure.
You
right now.
You fucking moron. How are you the one who gets to talk? Charles Zemeckis produced it for over 6 months.
But he was a badass in that fucking movie, that vampire, 30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night. You got it the first guess.
Yeah, that movie, I got to find out this dude's name now, because he was so fucking good in that movie. It was like chilling, because it's such a stupid premise.
That you're a vampire? It's sort of cool. Vampires would go with this more night.
But these were legit, I'm sorry, hold on a second.
These were legit what, vampires?
These were legit vampires. This is one of the last movies.
Oh yeah, where they're badass.
30 Days of Night, where they were fucking terrifying, legit vampires. They were awesome.
And why couldn't they find those people? Why couldn't they go door to door?
They didn't want to. They weren't really into looking that hard.
Oh yeah, they had to hide away and go from place to place.
His name is Danny Houston. Is that the homeboy's name? That's one of them. This guy played the vampire.
Oh really?
Yeah, this guy was one of the guys in that movie that was awesome. But he wasn't the guy that I was thinking about. There's a full cast and crew. There's a guy who played like the vampire familiar. He played like the
familiar
person. Yeah. The person that was hoping they were going to turn him into a vampire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That guy never works out for him, right?
Oh, yeah, it never works out. That guy always gets jacked.
Double-crossed!
Yeah. Well, he's always kind of a piece of shit, you know? Can I help you? Yeah. There's always something wrong with him, but he...
The familiar.
But he's such a good weasel.
Yeah.
You know? And in this movie, he had, like, rotten teeth, and he was all fucked up looking.
Really?
It was awesome. He was great.
They didn't allow him to have... they always kill those guys.
Yeah.
They did it in the Hunger Games, too.
Oh, yeah, you gotta kill those guys.
Gotta kill them eventually.
You can't let those guys fucking go on. Ben Foster, that's his name. That guy
Ben Foster?
Yeah, he's from Boston. Holla at your boy. He's a bad motherfucker. That dude is a bad motherfucker. He's keep an eye on that dude as far as like watching a guy who can really pull off someone fucked up in a movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit, is he good. He's scary.
He was the familiar?
He was the familiar. He was so good in it. It was like, this is a silly role. I mean, you got to pretend, they're going to turn me into a vampire. It seems so stupid.
Yeah.
But he did it so creepy and so fucked up that he looked like a guy who had been so shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Before they put him in this prison, he was so shell-shocked. Because he had seen, like, just vampires just gutting people everywhere he went. And they were going to turn him into a vampire. And eventually they just, spoiler alert, eventually they fucking eat his face. And it's pretty intense. But you buy it. His raw acting, the rawness of it all.
Do they get him fast or do they, like, slow?
Oh, they fuck you up, man. These are scary vampires.
They don't wait.
They do that fucking shit like with their blood spraying.
Yeah.
Like a wolf would eat your face. You know, a wolf wouldn't eat your face like a panther would eat your
face. If you're turning someone into another vampire, can you just drink a little of their blood?
Yes,
and
you have to drink a little, supposedly. They make their own rules now. Vampires can go outside in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Blade started with that shit. Remember that they put sunscreen on that dude?
On Black Blade?
Black Blade. They put sunscreen on the other dude. On the
so he could walk with him.
What is the handsome fella? Doesn't work that much anymore. Was in that
movie. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was in two girls, a pizza place, and two girls, a guy, and a pizza place.
Was he in that one, too?
Yeah.
Devastatingly. Steven Dorff? Is that him? Yeah.
No.
That guy.
Oh, that guy. Oh,
that guy was out. About. Handsome fellow, Steven Dorff. And he was...
Power of one.
He's got a beautiful face. Yeah. But anyway, all he had to do was put this sunscreen on, and he was okay. He was protected from the fucking the sun.
Really?
That's nonsense!
And the vampires couldn't figure that out?
Come on, man. Vampires would go outside and... fucking
also,
burst into flame.
Sunscreen lasts like 45 minutes.
Yeah, come on, man. You're going to put some fucking sunscreen on. You're not going to burst into flames. You're treating me like I'm an asshole.
Do you know the sunscreen companies just revolted against, like, America had to make them put legit stuff on their bottles?
Why? What were they doing? Just lying about the
saying
SPF?
Waterproof. Saying waterproof. SPF were ranges.
Yeah.
Saying the.
If it's waterproof, it's paint. by the way.
It's paint?
Yeah, it's paint. You're going to paint waterproof. Your fucking head.
But it's like, no, you're not. It's not waterproof. Yeah. It'll come off in the water. Putting words like sport on there to make you think like, oh, I can just have this on for hours. And you're like, you're making people get skin cancer.
I developed some real problems with sensitive eyes because of sunscreen.
Really?
Because I had to use sunscreen so much on Fear Factor. When I did Fear Factor.
Because you're outside all the time.
When I first started doing it, like a retard, I didn't wear sunscreen. Like the first couple of days that I ever worked it, I was just outside just getting cooked.
Yeah.
And I got like really fucking burnt. So I was like, all right, I got to wear sunscreen. So I was wearing sunscreen like 3 and 4 days a week standing outside while this shit drips in your eyes whenever you get any kind of sweat.
Yeah, and it stinks.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times it's a sweaty day. You know, like it's really possible for a little bit of the chemical to get, you know, moisture, and it just drips into the corners of your eyes. Then it would sting like a motherfucker. Yeah. And sometimes I would go on stage at the store and I forgot that I had sunscreen on my forehead, so it would sweat. And then while I was on stage sweating, it would drip into my eyes and it would be horrific, man. It would be like my eyes are getting burned, like I was getting chemical burns in my eyes. And because of that, like I've had like problems, like swimming doesn't feel the same way in the ocean anymore. It's like it's much more painful than it used to be. Like swimming in the ocean is like, wow, like this fucking stings. Where swimming in like freshwater is like no problem at all. And that to me, the salt, the fact that the salt stings, it's like, man, like, it feels like there might have been some damage there or something.
Oh, like also when you're swimming in and it comes up, then it runs into your face a lot more too, your eyes.
Well, it's just the fact that it gets in your eyes, you know.
So what does it do to you now? What are your eyes like? Are they work?
They sting if I get in the salt water, which didn't.
More so?
Yeah, more so than when I was younger. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it has something to do with being burned a few times. At least 3 times, it was really painful where I got really burned.
Like legitimately it hurt?
Oh, yeah, like on stage, it's crying. I'm crying.
Yeah, and my you don't eyes react to pain that well, too.
Sting. Whoa, I'm a pussy?
No, what the other way. Say? I mean, you don't ever react to pain.
I was like, what's up, bro?
Yeah, you got so upset. Relax.
Bro, am I a pussy?
No, I would expect if you were in high school with me, you would have been one of those kids that came in, just hand over a flame.
No, like, I never did. I don't want pain. I just, I've been pretty good at shutting it out. Like getting tattooed, you have to shut it out.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
But it's not that hard, man.
I almost fainted.
Oh my god, really?
It didn't even hurt. It just pinchy. I was with Bella. Remember Bella? Bella Julia.
Uh huh. Sure.
Yeah, we went to get him, and she got one, and I got one. And I was
You got a way harder spot than I do.
I guess. No way.
The
sleeve.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That side area is brutal. It's just one of the most sensitive areas. I don't know why. It's supposed to be super sensitive. Yeah. Especially like the ribs. Apparently if you get tattooed on the ribs.
Because that bone is right underneath.
Motherfucker. You feel like rattling your rib cage with pain. Just,
really?
It's like right over the bone. And you're like, oh, Jesus. That's how I've heard it described. There's just a few spots when I was getting my left sleeve. My right sleeve is only like probably like 60% right now. I got to go to Aaron Della Vadova at Guru Tattoo in San Diego. Holla at your boy. I want to finish this Musashi one.
What's it called? What was it, monkey? I have a t-shirt from them.
Oh, that's right.
Honky Kong. That's Honky what it Kong. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of great artists. San Diego is such a fucking cool town. That's a good place to go and start a cult. Maybe we should start our colony in San Diego. It's not too far from L.A. If you really had to be here for an audition. I think that was the first place I got laid on the road. Whoa,
I think that might have been that place, yeah.
Powerful Shafir.
Yeah.
That's a nice place to get laid. La Jolla? Ooh.
Yeah.
How beautiful is La Jolla?
You're the coach me through it. I didn't know how to read the signs. It was me, you, and Ingram or something down there or something. I think Ingram was on or I don't know. It was outside. The show was still going on.
Right.
And some girl said something to me like, oh, you're really funny, and then went outside to smoke. And that's when I was still smoking. And you're like, did you go get her number? I was like, no, could I have? You're like, yes. And I was like, really?
Yeah, you were on the hunt, and that girl came up and totally made the first move on you. Yeah,
I couldn't read it.
Yeah, and you went on stage, and you talked about not having a girlfriend. You were like, all green lights ahead. You know, you were dirty as fuck.
Dirty as fuck. God damn it.
But you killed, and that's what's important. You killed. You were the fucking man for whatever it was, 20 minutes. You were the man. And she's like, oh, my God, I love him. Just thinking about that.
You were like, go use your smoking for good for once.
Yeah.
And go out there.
Yeah, go get some, son.
I was so nervous, too. I was like, okay. And I went and talked, and I was like, you want to hang out? And she was like, yeah, sure.
Isn't it weird how you get, like, more comfortable, like, meeting new people?
Is any experience.
I used to get nervous when I would go to a bank teller. This is, by the way.
What? You were what, like 17, 18?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I was 18 when I already fought in martial arts tournaments, you know? I got scared of that, too. But I would be tongue-tied and nervous when I was going to talk to the teller.
Just a new person.
Maybe that. Maybe a person of authority. I just would get weird talking to people. When I went for, like, long periods of time, just training and not talking to people too much, I got, like, real weird social anxiety shit.
Really?
For a while. Yeah, yeah. I got real weird. I
can't imagine that.
No, for sure.
What if somebody's, like, introduced you to somebody?
Well, I was very, I was still pretty confident in myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, unreasonably confident in myself. Because of my martial arts stuff, but I was still like really weird with people socially. Like, wow. I would get nervous talking to them. You know,
just anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up feeling like the most appreciated person. So a lot of times when I was around, so I was around someone new, I would like think they were going to judge me, and how long before this guy starts picking on me? You know, how long before this person starts?
How long before he finds out that I'm supposed to be picked on?
That I'm a loser. Yeah. You know, I mean, and when you feel like that, you know, as a young person growing up, it's like it's super easy to have yourself fall into those situations.
Yeah.
So I would get like super. I could imagine it now. Like now, when I go to the bank, I look forward to saying hi to the lady, and I look forward to going, "Hello, how you doing? Everything good? What's up?" Yeah. I think
did you hear that there's like yesterday, you get a little discussion with people. I learned that from Diaz.
It's nice if you can do that. Yeah. You know, if you find someone who really will have a nice little, quick little, nice conversation with you, and you both feel good. Uh-huh. Everybody feels good. Or you can just be that selfish, senseless asshole. Just, can I help you? What do you need?
Yeah.
Write it down. That's not it. You're a robot.
Yeah.
You know, just interact with people all day. You know, maybe it would be fun. If Joey Diaz worked at a fucking post office box place, it'd be a fun place to go.
I'm friends with all the post office people. They told me once how to do it, like separate stuff. And I do it every time. And they'll stop and come over like, oh, you got another shipment? You got more? You separate? Thank you, darling.
You know, Eddie Bravo used to work at UPS.
Yeah.
He used to sort boxes. Like there would be like a, like he would stand next to these runways and the boxes would come at him and he would grab the boxes and have to chuck them into like different places that correspond to different.
Like Laverne and Shirley?
Like different area codes or zip codes, rather. Is it zip codes? No. Zip codes is the zip end code, of a letter. Yeah, so he had to like put them into different places. Like, what did you say? Like, what show?
Like Laverne and Shirley.
Did they do that?
With the bottles where they had to like...
Oh, that's right. They had to do that with with the brewery. What was it called?
Wasn't fucking Pabst, was it?
No, it was a fake one, right? Okay. Shots Brewery?
Schlotsky's? No, that's a real one.
Fuck is it, man? I don't remember. That was a great show, though, when we were kids. It's probably really hard to watch now. But what? Answer me this.
What show is good to watch now?
There were so many good female comedians from that era, like Carol Burnett and Laverne and Shirley. They were like real legit shows that people wanted to watch. Mary Tyler Moore.
I think it was maybe because of this. I'm going to offer something that will probably get me in trouble.
Okay.
But I think it's because in those days, Hollywood... The people in charge of choosing hadn't yet said, we've got to find prettier people. The management system hadn't come in and promoted people from within to get like, well, who do you have to choose from now? A bunch of people, they've told us, these are who you have to choose from. And you don't get like the people who are just naturally talented to rise through the ranks anymore. If you look at Saturday Night Live now, most of those people are better looking now than when it started.
Right.
You know, like everything has sort of changed. And you're going to get prettier people to look at, which is nice. But you're also not going to necessarily get the funniest or most talented, most creative person that way.
Right.
You know? And also, Carol Burnett allowed everybody else to shine.
Yes. Yes, and they had a super talented crew. Yeah. Is that thing falling apart on you, man? You keep fucking with it.
No, I'm trying to get it to the right spot.
Don't touch it. It itches. Leave it alone. Yeah, Carol Burnett had a super talented crew. It's just hard for us to recognize now because if you tried to watch the Carol Burnett show right now, I don't know if you'd really, truly enjoy it.
I think I should go watch some of those shows because some of those, like in Living Color, you can't watch at all now.
Well, like...
Certain shows you cannot watch. Lenny Bruce, who you're looking at?
Yeah, I was going to point to that Lenny Bruce poster that I have on my wall. I give it up to Lenny Bruce. I think we all have to. That was the originator. That was the first guy. If it wasn't for that guy, it would have taken a lot longer to get to this.
Yeah.
It would have taken, for what you and I do, that guy is so super important. But if you try to watch his stuff today, it's odd. It's very strange.
Yeah.
There's one where he's on stage for over an hour reading legal documents. Just talking about the points of his case. He went crazy because he was getting charged with obscenity. And so he would go on stage and read his fucking case.
He was the first one to suffer from that, from thinking how famous he was. He should be talking about it.
Oh, yeah. He fucking fell apart because of it.
And his world was a whole world.
The court cases, and then on top of that, the heroin. You know, he was, like, severely depressed, I'm sure, because of a lot of it. I mean, all those guys that got arrested for saying things, even the Two Live Crew, we owed them. Yeah. We owe them. Because if it wasn't for people who broke down the door with obscenity, even though put your dips on my dick and stick my asshole too. Me so... Look, love it or hate it, it's a form of art.
Yeah, but it's
a ridiculous form of art.
But it's like, why did you tell them not to say that?
Yeah.
That's what we believe in, that they should be allowed to say it. Listen, who cares what it is?
If they like it, what's it to you? As long as they're not playing it in your face, and I don't think you should be playing Beethoven in anybody's face either. Yeah,
right. At some point, we bowed out of the Christians a little too much.
A little too much.
We're like, hey, how about there's going to be some cursing on television, so just research what you're going to watch and police your kids on your own.
Well, Florida's so gangster.
We all want this.
Florida's got, like, a lot of really strange laws. And some people like them, but some people think that they're really nuts. And it's like Florida has, like, a really large community of conservative people.
Florida,
so they have some pretty strict laws when it comes to, like, pornography and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when they have someone, like, say this guy, you remember that dude who went to jail for obscenity? Max Hardcore. He does, like, really
pornos.
Intense shit, like, really intense, like, shameful,
yeah,
horrible things to people.
Yeah.
Just, like, pissing in their asshole, and then they drink it with a straw.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah, like, intense stuff.
Weekend stuff.
Intense stuff. Pissing in your mouth, and while he's got a hard-on somehow or another, and then he forces her head down, and he pisses in her mouth some more, and she's gagging and throwing up piss. Yeah, so what they did with this guy is they decided to make a case out of him. So they sent his stuff to Florida.
Yeah.
And then they sent it to some place that has very strict pornography laws. And so that place is like, okay, well, now we'll prosecute him based on our perception of what's
upsetting. Yeah, different perceptions.
Yeah, that's where it gets crazy.
And that's Florida, who has, like, didn't they run the meth where people just go from spot to spot to spot in Florida?
It's not meth.
Cough syrup or whatever it was?
It's OxyContins.
Yeah.
You
can just get a certain amount at every single city.
Yeah, and they're trying to stop the or slow the tide on the amount of prescriptions that they give out. But the fact is, there's so many people that already have them. There's so many people that are addicted to that stuff. And if they all stop cold turkey, they're all going to die.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to figure out how to get these people off this zombie drug that you guys have been making billions off. Good luck, you fucking assholes. You crazy assholes that have made all your money. Enjoy your yacht. You've enslaved a population. You've enslaved a population with vampire dust. You've turned people into zombies.
You know what they'll say?
What do they say?
They'll say, well, I just don't think about it.
They're going to stand right beside Mitt Romney and say, we did build it.
Uh-huh.
We did build it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody got mad at me because I got mad at Obama for that expression that he used.
What expression?
Where he said, you didn't build that, you know, you didn't build the infrastructure. He was talking about that, you know, the reason why we have, you know, such a great society that people are able to, you know, create jobs and start their own businesses is because there's this infrastructure and you need to contribute to that. And you didn't build that. You didn't build that infrastructure. And that's
he's saying who didn't contribute. Build it? Mitt Romney.
The people that have the businesses. He's saying that you didn't build it on your own.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I got upset about, and me and Brian Callen were talking about it, and I should clarify because enough people tweeted me and commented on the message board. Yeah, you're
already misconstrued.
Yeah, it's what I don't like about that is because that is a defeatist attitude. You're telling someone something they didn't do. That's not how a leader should be communicating with people in my really unsubstantial and completely irrefutable position. I mean, who am I to tell
you? Here's what I think. It's more, what do you mean how a leader should act? Those are things and terms that we grew up on, but like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
why shouldn't he hang out in his underwear and say whatever he wants?
I'm not saying that I don't, any credibility on this subject, but I think that when you're talking to a group of people, this is just my opinion, can't say that any more times.
Yeah.
And if you're the leader of 300 million people and you're talking in negatives, then you're putting out negative. You're putting out negative energy. You're scolding people. You're in a sense, you're saying that someone's wrong. When you say you didn't build that.
He said that about Mitt Romney?
But no, he said that about people that don't think that they should pay more in taxes, people that don't think they should contribute more, which I, by the way, even though I'm I have a mixture of ideas that I have about I have a lot of things that I believe that are very liberal as far as like social issues, and a lot of things that I believe that are pretty conservative, and people would be kind of surprised because I just think there's a reality to human nature that a lot of liberal people I think don't want to they don't want to accept. They want to pretend that people are a little less predictable than they actually are.
Yeah,
you know. But humans are humans.
Yeah. To react like this, whatever type of species we are.
Until we accept that, all these conversations we have are just flavored by bullshit. That's why political conversations never work. That's why political speeches never work.
They never see the other side. They never realize that, yeah,
when you
we want different things.
When you see a guy like Mitt Romney or a guy like Barack Obama, who's, by the way, a really good speaker, he's way better than I would be if I had to do that thing. I'd get crazy emotional. I'd probably cry like a bitch.
Yeah.
So this is really, I had the real responsibility of guiding 300 million people. Handles it admirably. I mean, it's amazing. But they all do it in a fake way.
They'll do what?
We are the type of country that prevails. We are not the type of country that backs down. You know, it's come on, man.
You're not talking.
You're not talking to me as a human being in these grandiose ways of using tone and separating speech. Is to me, it's a lot like stand up comedy.
Pausing for applause.
Yeah, you're doing stand up with no jokes.
Like, You hear them raise their voice at the end. You're like, oh, come on. Yeah. It's not because of the message. It's because of the way you delivered it.
Yeah, you use some theatrical type
bullshit.
Advice.
It's cheap. You see comics doing that. You're like, come on. You can't finish your set and go like this. Go like, give it up for me.
Some guys do, though.
Ugh.
You've seen it. How gross is that?
Yeah.
Remember there was a one guy that used to come around and would tell the audience that this always gets a standing ovation. This is my last bit. This always gets a standing ovation. And he would go and do his last bit. And then
just letting him know. You should be giving
ovation.
Me a standing ovation at the end of this.
And he would tell people to stand the fuck up. Stand the fuck up. Stand the fuck up.
It's supposed to just happen.
People are so crazy. They're so greedy. They want it now. It's mine. It's mine. It's my precious. That's why the Gollum works so well.
Because everyone's precious. Like, yeah, I see that.
Oh, precious, precious, precious. Mm. He wants it.
It's become almost a hacky reference in comedy because precious. It works so well.
Oh, because it is.
It's like, yeah, having that much desire for something, that's the extreme.
The creepiest possible aspect of people is when you're running into them in the midst of an addiction.
A green monster.
Oh. Yeah. When you see someone who wants something so bad, something, give it to us, give it to us. Yeah. You know that thing where I've seen it with Coke. I've seen it with people that wanted Coke,
but they just want to get back to where they were in the first 20 minutes of their fucking Coke trip.
Well, they're not thinking. No, they just know they want it. It's just, but it's weird to see that glassy eyed, like locked down on that chemical. They want that chemical so bad.
I was with Tebow yesterday, 2 days ago, yesterday, and we saw.
I don't care when it happened, man.
Saw some guy crossing the street, but he's walking with sweatpants, no T-shirt, and socks on, walking down La Brea, crossing Hollywood Boulevard. And I was like, on the other side of the street, I was like, Tebow, what drug is that? He goes, I think meth. Looks methy to me.
Kind of methy.
Yeah.
A little on the methy side. Jesus Christ.
And I was like, he seems calm. He's like, oh, no, he's just waiting for someone to get in his way.
That's why I have no respect for cops that decide, by the way, not are forced to act, but decide it's time to raid medical marijuana dispensaries. Go clean up the meth labs, you fuck. You know where people are actually worse. Going in and parking their car and paying for it with their credit card.
You know what's happening. Yeah, you know what's worse.
You assholes. Whoever it is at the top, I know you're trying to protect your cops, but really, come on, man. You need to get drones, and I usually don't say that, but that's what the cops need, to deal with the meth.
Oh, yeah.
Just drones.
What's going to happen with it? Nothing's going to happen
with this. Leave the weed alone. How about weed pays for drones to go after the meth?
But the city council stuff for L.A., that's not going to pass, right?
No, it's not going to pass. No,
the mayor's never going to sign off on it.
No, they can go fuck themselves. Yeah. The idea is ridiculous. You know how much money they would lose? They would lose billions of dollars in revenue and taxes. It's ridiculous. Those companies are just as much of a legitimate business as someone selling cucumbers.
But here's the problem, though. Yeah, but I agree with you. But 6 out of 7 city councilmen or whatever said, yeah, let's get rid of it.
Yeah, well, those guys are bitches.
Are they in the pocket of people? Is that what it is?
Of course they are. Yeah. Of course. This is a big issue, man. If this could make... Look, imagine you could wipe out, just for a goof, say that you could wipe out all of the medical marijuana dispensaries in this state.
Yeah.
So the only way a patient could get pot was to illegally grow it. If that was the case, people like grandmas and shit,
they would illegally grow it.
Or they would just go to the pills. It's very possible you get a lot of people to the pills. Yeah, a lot of people take it for pain relief, man. A lot of people that have had like back injuries.
I will tell you the crazy shit. The only story I heard where it's like story evidence, whatever that word is. But we were on that Monsters of Comedy tour, that shitty one with Triple E and all those guys. And this guy, Will C, he's like an army guy. He's like, I'm not touching that stuff. He would get a little annoyed that you smoked around him. Within 2 weeks, he was like, all right, let me have some. But we always shoved him in the back with the luggage and stuff.
Right.
And his back was like, fuck, I'm hurt. It hurt, whatever. He said, like, dude, my back feels good.
Yeah.
When he finally started smoking, he was like, I feel better.
Well, part of the problem with back pain, and this has been proven, is it's stress-related. That a lot of times when people have like really stressful lives. Really? Yeah.
Your back cinches
up? There's a guy, I think his name is John Sarno. I think that's his name. He's a doctor from New York, and he's like got this idea that I think his name is Sarno. I should look this up, but that it's psychosomatic. And Eddie Bravo actually found that his back problems are psychosomatic.
He could see if he was stressed.
Well, he said that he was just so tense in the way he was thinking, and he changed the way he was thinking. And when he changed the way he's thinking, literally his back problems went away.
There's an old fable in the Old Testament that some guy was trying to help a king. He couldn't get his shoe off. Or something. He had like armor on of a shoe and he couldn't get it off, and the king had to like calm him down. Or the Jew had to calm this king down. And then once that happened, then his swelling went down on his foot and he was able to get the shoe off.
Huh.
Yeah.
You fucked that front thing up.
Fucked
again,
it up, man. Good, man. Fucked it up good.
It's not your fault.
I can't face you and turn. Yeah. Oh, that's clearly the way to do it. But now, how do I? I'm just missing an angle.
Just right there is good. Right there is good. Can you tighten it up right there? So that Jewish horror movie, said.
The Dybbuk Box.
Yeah. Well, I think it's called The Possession or something.
Oh, yeah. That's how it just came out?
Yeah. It was wicked stupid.
Yeah.
Totally unbelievable.
Yeah.
Completely retarded.
You like dragged me to hell. And I was fun. Like, this
Loved
sucks.
Loved it.
This sucks.
Loved it. I remember that. I'm a child in a lot of ways. I don't know if you've recognized that.
That time we were in San Jose and we're all going to go see a movie because it's so boring there. And it's like two blocks. It's okay.
Yep.
And so we're all going to see a movie. And you and Tom was like, let's go see Drag Me to Hell. And I was like, barf. Let's go see Up. And you guys were like, barf.
Oh my God, Drag Me to Hell was so much better than that.
Me and Brian
I sounded like a 14-year-old.
Me and Brian cried it up.
Did you really?
Bawling.
Aww, that's so sweet. Yeah, I don't like getting depressed at the movies. And Up did depress me. When the old guy was in the house by himself, I'm like, I do not want to watch this. That's gross.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You're watching someone rot away.
At first 15 minutes into that, you're like, that's just a beautiful short
of
him with the wife coming up. Yeah. And then,
it's depressing as fuck.
Yeah. So I like when stuff touches me like that.
Oh, so sweet.
You don't like it?
I used to, and I gave up. I gave up on that feeling. Like, I don't need that. I'm trying to manage as much positive thinking in my life as possible. The last thing I want to do is watch a movie about some guy is fucking shooting heroin and falling apart and, you know, someone accidentally hits someone with a car because they're drunk. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. Oh, I don't care. I don't need to see reality when I go to the fucking movies. I want the Hulk.
Really?
I would see.
Every time.
Yeah. I would see.
Not even back and forth.
What's that?
Not even a back and forth.
Give a fuck about some depressing movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the movies to get depressed. I don't have time, man. I've got a lot of different interests, you know? And I'm really into a lot of different things that I don't get to do a lot, like play pool. The last thing I want to do is take some time away from playing pool.
So you can feel.
To watch some movie that wants to make me cry like a bitch about some shit that didn't even really happen. I'm crying about some fake shit.
And you go to comedies, too. You'll go to Ali G movies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. For sure. Yeah. No, I love comedies. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to go see the new Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis movie, but it was sold out like a motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah, we were 20 minutes before it, too. I was like, oh, shit. I got crazy. I thought I could go see that movie. That movie's going to be like number one. Apparently, it's fucking
When did it come out?
Hilarious.
Really?
Just came out. But I had a bunch of people say that when it went and saw it, it's just so ridiculous.
It's
like
funny?
From the moment it starts, it's a fucking crazy giggle fest because they're both so stupid funny. Like, Will Ferrell, I've seen him in movies. Like, he's got like scenes in Anchorman that are so preposterous.
Yeah.
Like, when the girl girl was starting to become famous and he was upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember? I mean, it's like, he's so funny.
It's so ridiculous that it's like, all right, it's funny.
Every movie that he's in, I've never seen a bad Will Ferrell movie. I've never seen a Will Ferrell movie that didn't make me laugh. Talladega Nights is one of my all-time favorite comedies.
I like Talladega Nights.
That's a fucking great movie. When that girl stops
fucking Will Ferrell because he loses and then starts fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah, Leslie Bibb.
Yeah, and she was like, wait, you're fucking the other guys. Like, those are my kids now.
She was my ex-girlfriend in Zookeeper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was the girl that I was trying to get from Kevin James.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She's really nice. She's super cool. Like, as far as, like, you know, you think about, like, hanging with actors, that actors would be, like, real actor-ish. Leslie Bibb is cool as fuck. And she's totally, like, a guy. Dude, we were on the way to... That's she's good. Really funny. And she's nice. She's nice to everybody. She's nice to the PAs. She's nice to the makeup lady. She's just nice. She's just nice. But she's fucking really hilarious. I don't know how much she would ever want anybody to know of this conversation, so I won't tell you any more. But she was cracking jokes about something, and I was like, I can't believe this is the chick from Talladega Nights.
Really?
Yeah, it was really funny. She's really funny.
Steve Byrne once. I've been getting called into audition for that Sullivan and Son a few times.
Sullivan and Son? What is that?
Steve Byrne show. It's on TBS.
Oh, yeah. TBS has like a lot of comedies now, right?
Yeah, they're really trying to go. They're really
that's
trying to go hard.
That's a recent thing, right?
Is that where Louis is?
No, he's at FX.
FX, yeah. Okay. But his is on TBS. Yeah. But anyway, I got called at some point. I got called on three times for like one same show. It's like, right. Steve, thank you. You clearly said something about me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd so much rather hang out with a comic than an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's just one line. Just, I'd rather be
normally I
one.
Say that, but then I'm like saying, like, this Leslie Bibb chick, she's even cool. though she's not a comic, she is a comic. She might as well be a comic.
Yeah, and there's some annoying comics, too, that I wouldn't want to hang out with.
Of course! Yeah. I'm telling you, look, a lot of people that are actors that in comedy, like Leslie Bibb, could easily have been a stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, but like, cool the enough. Same, yeah, the same thing that, you know, Chelsea Handler can pull off. Yeah. Leslie Bibb can pull that off, too. You know, I mean, I think she's...
Chelsea Handler takes some shit, but I've always thought she was hardcore.
She's funny. She's funny.
I thought she was the only girl that was talking about being a whore that was really a whore. she's like, she ain't faking it.
She's always been nice to me. Yeah. Every time I've always seen her, she's always been nice to me. I've never heard anybody say she's an asshole. You know, I don't know what it's like on her set or anything like that, but she's
man, she was always so, nice. She's funny. She used to come into the store and everyone, like Jeff Scott used to get mad about it sometimes, but it was like...
I wrote a review for her book. I wrote a blurb.
Remember that.
Yeah.
But she would come in, sit in her car, drink from a flask, then go in and open the show, and then take off for the night.
She was good. I remember watching her in the back of the room going, wow, this chick is fucking... She's hardcore.
Yeah.
She's like legit hardcore. Like, she was really living it. She's really getting
it. Yeah, she's like, I'm not pretending I'm a whore for the sake of a joke.
She's funny. She's cool. Yeah. I think, you know, it's a way harder road for a chick to make it as a comedian and even talk about anything than it is for a dude. Because a dude can get away with having an opinion about things.
Yeah, chicks it's harder to, or they just don't try.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you'll listen to a guy on stage with a conservative point of view for a little bit. You know what I mean? You'll listen for a little bit if the guy's a respectable person. Like even Christopher Hitchens was like pretty conservative when it came to a lot of military issues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and these are obviously a very
super liberal atheist at the same time.
Yeah, but if you had a woman that was on stage that was trying to get you to laugh, yeah, and had opinions so completely polar opposite of your opinions as well, you wouldn't be wanting to hear it. She couldn't be talking about sucking dicks, and it's hard. It's hard to do for them.
No, but like political opinions or fucking social opinions.
Shut your mouth, woman.
I think none of them get
to choose. That's how guys think. And I think it's way harder for a chick to have a political point of view. That's why a lot of them become like really like snappy. Like a dog that's been yelled at too much. Yeah.
In their act?
Yeah.
They definitely get pushed into being characters more. Yes. Into being character acts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree with
that. Just like Roseanne did, just like Phyllis Diller did, just like all these people did. It really hasn't stopped.
Roseanne was a monster.
Yeah.
You remember when Roseanne first came out, man? I remember she was the first chick.
Her voice is too annoying for me at first.
That I ever took me a couple years. Really kill.
She really?
Was the first chick I
you
ever
saw her work out?
Really kill.
You saw her do spots?
No, I don't think I ever saw her live. I might have saw her once at the store live, and I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I've seen her specials. You know, I've seen her specials a bunch of times, and I've tweeted back at her. I think she admonished me for making a potty joke.
Oh, really?
Like a mommy.
as a joke?
I don't think so. I think she was telling me to concentrate more on important issues.
Oh, really? She was one of the first women to get her say. She goes, we'll do it my way.
That's Roseanne Barr, bitch. You better recognize.
She fired every showrunner she had.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're all fired, one at a time.
Well, that's a weird thing that happens to people when they become like the star of a fucking show. Yeah, you can't tell Roseanne what to do.
Mm-mm. Not after that second year. It was like she was one of the biggest people in America.
She was huge.
Remember when she had a three-way marriage? Her and Tom Arnold married Sandra Bernhardt or that other person?
Is that true?
Something like, there was like a three-way marriage.
Wow.
They're like, we're marrying her.
Can you imagine being married to another person? Ugh. What just a adding drag. It to the list. What a crazy drag. How about we all get divorced and just live together? Let's just make up our mind, honey. This marriage is a sham. We're bringing another person in here. Let's just get divorced and hang out together. Can we do that? Get out of a three-way marriage. Why don't I have a 10-way marriage, you dumb fuck? That way when you break up, you can't have any money. How about that? You don't get any of it. All of it goes to other people. They can't live off what you make.
You get nothing.
Yeah, you can't. Could you imagine if you got divorced from 9 people and you had to pay them all?
Me. It'd be like when you go to Tijuana and those little chiclet kids come up to you. It'll be like that. I got with alimony all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta think of how stupid it is. Like, I was having a conversation with somebody about the O.J. Simpson case the other day. It came up, and they were talking about people like getting like super crazy because they have to pay so much in divorce.
Yeah,
and we broke it down. I go, could you imagine if you had explained that to somebody that if they didn't understand the system? It's like, yeah, well, what happens is you sign this paper, and then when you're not together anymore, even if they're fucking other people, you have to keep sending them money. For like a long time, for years and years and years. And they, for whatever reason, never have to get their shit together.
They never have to.
No.
And everyone's like, you gotta do what you have to do. You have to support them.
Isn't
why?
That crazy? You know, I have a friend.
Whose
wife, if she got married to the man that she loves, she would lose all of her money.
All of her alimony.
So she won't marry him. So this guy's like a bum, and they live together, and this guy has to pay them astronomical sums every month. And he'll like get a credit order. Or a court order to prove that she's living with a man, and the guy would just move out for 2 weeks. The inspector comes, and then he moves back in.
Here's the thing: I understand that if you gave up your life and your career to raise a child for someone else,
he has no kids.
If you just marry someone, in what world of equality do you think because you guys decide to break up, that one person should pay the other person? No, in what equality world?
It's if you get married for more than 12 years.
If you live together with 5 years in California.
No, that's not what I'm saying. If you're married for more than 12 years and you get divorced.
And you grow apart.
You have to pay them forever.
Because you grew in separate ways.
I mean, that is one of the
every girl
things.
Is not outraged by that. It's a fucking cunt. Whoa. Every one of you. Whenever you want equality, just know that that's a rule still. And go fuck yourself. There's no way that should still be around.
I got
stop
two
and think about it for a
you.
Second.
I got two words for you right now. Tom Arnold.
Yeah, that's our payback.
It's not just girls. It's not just girls.
Yeah, that's right.
Guys have run that hustle,
And Britney Spears, dude.
Oh, that's right. Kevin Federline in the house. He's fat and he drives a Ferrari now.
But every guy was excited about that. Like, black people were excited about OJ getting off. Where we knew this is ridiculous, but finally won for us.
That you just went deep with that, son.
It's a ridiculous law. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's craziness. It's crazy that you could be separated by years and years and years. And even the same amount of time that you were actually together. Like, if you were together for 12 years and separated for 12 years. No, in perpetuity. You got to keep paying.
We got married when we were 18. Now I'm 30.
And she can't even forever? Find a man. She can't find a man who loves her enough. To take her away.
It comes from a time with like their tarnished goods because they've already been married for so long. Like, who would want them?
Well, it's not.
What,
even
what the
that.
Fuck is that?
It's not even that. It's that like she can't trust him. What, I'm gonna just trust you? I'm gonna marry you, and you're gonna stick around. If I lose you, I lose all this money. I mean, she gets a substantial amount of money every year.
It's a payday.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are you talking about?
How much?
That comes
much?
From a crazy time.
How much does she get? Oh, nothing. Just about $1 million. A year.
Remember that Chris Rock bit? It's okay to give up half of your money when you have $2 million. Try when you have $30,000.
Yeah.
Try giving up $15,000.
Even when you have $2 million, it's like it hurts your soul. The idea behind
she didn't
it.
Earn
it's
this.
It's so crazy that if you write something down on paper, another
and you have
person,
to keep paying
you
them?
Have to keep paying them. Like, why can't you live your life? Like, that seems to be kind of strange.
Yeah.
That you're requiring me to live your life. Yeah, what kind of fucking weird enabling system do we have here?
We're letting you're not responsible for yourself. I'm not going to say it. They're training them to be adults. Wow. That's what we're training them to be. I
can't believe you said that. You said...
I stopped myself. I try to grow as a human. But that's what you're training them to be. Fucking people unable to take care of themselves in any way.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Well, the whole idea is ridiculous. You can
get injured in an accident.
Women want to be protected when they're raising children and to be legal. Like, some guys are douchebags and they don't want to pay for their kids and they wouldn't want to pay alimony or child support. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in cases, especially where there's no children, it seems a little weird that you could be separated from someone for, in my friend's case, 10 fucking years. He's paying a substantial, let me say it again, a substantial amount of money. My friend is a real real worker. He works. He's, you know, he's got his own business. He's like, I mean, this motherfucker puts in some hours. All right, I'm telling too much. He's also a wizard. He lives in a cave and he drives a spaceship.
And he's Asian.
It's a fucking, it's just a sad world when you see people destroyed by a weird, unequal legal system.
It's antiquated. What the fuck is that?
It doesn't make any sense.
How can anyone defend that kind of behavior?
It's just so crazy to think that someone who you don't want in your life anymore is still your financial responsibility.
How about the last 2 years was a living hell?
Yeah.
That doesn't buy you anything? Any discounts?
Yeah, and this is, you know, we're talking about grown adults, man. I mean, you would assume that you've done something with your life that's trade-worthy.
We hated each other. We had to sleep next to each other for the last 2 years.
And it doesn't matter. You were, no bed together. You know, you might fucking, she might insult you when you're at dinner. I mean, make up your own horrifying scenario that it could have been. And imagine you have to pay that person $1 million a year. It's craziness.
$20. That's what you get. You get when you get out of prison.
The whole idea behind paying people money is fucking crazy. But the whole idea behind charity is beautiful. And when people don't get charity from people, they want to get it from them. You give it to me. And it's a fucking horrible aspect of human nature that people want something for that free. They don't deserve.
But we all want it.
Yeah.
After we get it for a while, we all want it.
Yeah, you all want to slip and fall and sue.
After you get... But in anything, even when you start getting spots at the comedy store, you start thinking, well, now I get them, I deserve them.
Yes. Yeah,
you start Everyone thinking, gets like this.
Yeah, it's hard to maintain humility and appreciation. Those are two very hard aspects of the human experience to really maintain and hang on to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to be a nice person.
I was talking to this guy in Toronto, this new comic. He was interviewing me for something, like web thing.
Powerful Toronto, coming soon, Massey Hall.
And
are you gonna be able to?
I'm also doing shows in Toronto for Just for Laughs. I will probably be by there to hang out at very least.
At the very least. Yeah. So legally, we can't say that Ari Shaffir will be performing.
Yeah.
But you know what's up.
How are the sales for that show?
Oh, stellar.
Yeah, you're gonna.
It's almost sold out.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost sold out. And all it's look, Massey Hall is one of the fucking coolest places on earth. Have you ever done it?
No.
Dude, like, the fucking Beatles did it and shit. It's like really? One of those places. Oh, it's insanity. I'm scared. Wow. I'm scared just thinking about it now. I'm getting tuned up. I'm so fired up for that show. I'm fired up for this weekend, too. I'm doing the Lobero Theater in Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is pretty fucking dope.
Santa Barbara.
Dude. You ever go there?
I just went camping near, like, halfway there. Dude, I'm telling you, it's so nice to go camping. You gotta do it.
A silly bitch.
It's so much fun. You see fucking animals. We got attacked by a skunk.
Yeah, that's not good.
It was so fun. You're saying
it like it's good.
It was so fun.
Skunks are not good, dude.
Only one guy had to walk through it. It was so
fun. That's not real camping. That's serial killer bait. That's
and then we went out into the wild.
Like, yeah, but there's no wild. The wild that you can get to your car in L.A. is not real wild.
Where did you go,
Joshua Tree? Serial killer bait.
Where do you want to go?
You got to go to Montana, son.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go somewhere legit.
But we can't go there. That's too much. That's too involved. We want to take mushrooms and drive somewhere.
Okay, but I'm telling you that you're just asking to get eaten. That's what you're doing. If you go to one of those creepy semi-wooded areas near cities.
There's families there.
Yeah. Well, like Griffith Park. Griffith Park is a good place to find.
Griffith Park is a good place to get a blowjob. A
half-eaten body. Yes.
Griffith Park is different.
It's a good place to find a pit that people made when they cooked a homeless guy. That's the kind of place where you find some shit like that. You know? It's not like the real woods. It's not like Colorado. Not like walking through the trails in the Rockies.
It's the closest place where I can get away from everyone.
Yeah.
And that's so much fun sometimes, to get away from everybody. If I had a houseboat, I'd take it out sometimes.
Fuck yeah, it is. But the problem is, the places you're going, anybody you run into, you're going to have to kill. You're going to have to kill in a hand-to-hand fight because they're going to be trying to take your life. You're going to have to call back on those old-school 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu skills.
Try to remember what my dad taught me about the Israeli army.
Yes. Like,
what do I remember? Kicking the balls for two people.
Dude, I'm so bummed out that you hurt your knees. I really love the fact that you got into Jiu-Jitsu. And you got proficient at it for a while. I remember seeing you get a few taps. And I was like, holy shit, Ari, it's tapping people.
I would saw you get anyone who's backs. Thinking of doing it, it's so invigorating when you get that. It's like, it's sort of the same, but way
come
better
back,
than
man. Why don't you come back again? Why don't you just lift a little weights for a couple months, build your body PT up a little bit? I'm about to go back now. I had a pretty significant back injury where I popped it.
I miss it sometimes.
And then I tried to keep rolling. I tried to like just roll light and just use technique, and I hurt it really bad.
Callan told me this.
Point where I was getting numbness in my hands.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've had that.
It was intense.
Tingling?
Yeah, it was intense. And then I came back for a little, and I got my black belt, and then I hurt it again. And I was like, motherfucker. I said, all right, I can't just rest this. I got to make this thing stronger.
I should say this because I don't think I got injured in jiu-jitsu. I think I got injured from kettlebells. So really? I will say to anyone who doesn't, be careful and don't bend past a certain level.
Well, honestly, I think before you even do kettlebells, for you, because you had been kind of sedentary, I think it would have been nice a little bit. Being trying to be your friend, brother. You know, I love you.
You were vegetables growing on me.
You could have started off with perhaps like some bodyweight squats and some push-ups and like real conservative sort of a build-up phase.
Yeah.
Because what happened to you has happened to people before.
You go too hard and you break.
Yeah, yeah. You can fuck yourself up. Kevin Pereira had the exact same problem.
Callan told me at some point, he's like, but honestly, dude, you're 36, you're 37. You can't. That's what's going to happen.
That's Callan.
That's right before he lifted his shirt and said something about 40-something and then pounded himself.
Fox News messenger of doom comes to... If you're talking about how great your body was, he would have went that way with you. He just loves being Callan. But no, he is right in a lot of ways. I mean, when you're older, for sure, the shit breaks more. Especially if you're thinking the fact that you're 36 and on top of being 36, you're also like... You know,
38 now.
You haven't been in the best of shape.
So
you got to that age, and on top of it, you were like not eating well.
I just started eating healthy.
Yeah.
I'm going to Whole Foods. I went in there once high, stoned, drove in there. I was like, let me see. And their salad bar was so fucking good and full of different flavors that I'm like, I can do this.
It truly makes a difference to eat healthy, and people don't understand. You don't know what you're depriving yourself out of. It doesn't mean be a vegetarian either. It means getting a lot of nutrition.
It's weird though. I just did it because it tasted okay. But after like a month, like a solid month of doing it, like all the time, like 8-9 of those a day.
Yeah.
You know, not a day, a week. After that, I could feel better. Like I would feel like more, like more energy and like better.
Yeah, of course. It's like when you quit smoking too. I'm sure it must have been the same sort of a thing. Got to.
Man, I would like to say that.
Relax. No,
I would like to say that, but it just
you had a real pull back, huh? It's always pulled you a little bit back.
Yeah, I'm better off at now. The pot helps because I can get that feeling of smoking something.
Wow.
Which would relieve that little feeling.
So, but for the longest time after that, it always pulled you, right? You just always wanted to get one.
And then when you see people smoke, you're like, I want to be part of this. I want to be with you guys smoking right now.
It's so weird how it's so different for different people. Like some people will quit smoking and then they feel like they have so much energy and they feel so much better and they feel like they got out from under a rock, like something was weighing them down. And then some people quit and they never quite get over that pull.
They just keep trying. I had to accept, like, you know how I say in AA that you're powerless over the drug? Like every time I'm like, I'll just have like one or two a day, four a week. It's like, no, I don't have power over this.
Wow.
It'll be back at half a pack to a pack every day.
That's so scary. It's so scary that they made it that way.
Oh yeah. The addictive stuff isn't what gets you the good feeling.
Hey Mitt Romney, can we talk about this? Hey Barack Obama, can we talk about this poison that kills 500,000 people a year here? It kills like something nutty, like 5 million worldwide die every year from cigarettes. Like, whoa. Could you imagine if you came out with some new shit, like skin cream, and it was killing 5 million people worldwide a year? How long before they would pull that shit off the market?
That's a fucking plague.
That's a plague.
That's a new AIDS.
It's
an old AIDS.
It would be so many more people if we didn't have it, though.
Oh, thank God for cigarettes and AIDS.
You think about cigarettes and AIDS.
It really helps us out getting the freeway.
And still, the 405 is jammed. With all these people dropping off from cigarettes. There's something sad to me about an old lady smoking cigarettes. And I know that's stupid and hypocritical, but I want to feel like an old lady should have someone in her life who loves her enough to get her to quit smoking cigarettes.
To me, it's like, you did it.
You did it. You made it.
You made it.
You're old and you're still smoking.
You got through the maze. You got through.
Oh, man.
It's like she survived the Hunger Games.
There's some women that have that brassy. They know you don't want to fuck them. It's done.
So it's cool. Over. They're okay with it.
And so, like, they're a different thing. It's not like a woman. They become like this really old thing who can. Well, I'll tell you what. When you were my age, sonny,
I've been undesirable for 28 years.
They get accustomed to it.
Yeah,
that must be so sad though for a chick, because really beautiful chicks are super powerful.
Yeah,
they have superpowers.
Yeah,
you know, they go into a room and everybody loves them. Despite their
absolutely
how they talk.
I said this on Twitter, but I realized recently it's like the only difference between someone who you look at as a crazy person and someone who you look at as like cute or quirky is fuckability.
That's true.
That's the only difference.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, you look back and think about some of the girls that you dated
and men too.
Nutty
Flavor Flav was the same behavior then that he is now, but because he was younger and more vibrant.
Oh yeah,
you're like that's okay. That guy's just a little weird.
Yeah, if you want to fuck them, they become way easier to hang out with when they're completely insane. You justify
their behavior, insane or terrible.
Well, don't you think like a certain point in your life when you meet a person, they're just your sex dispenser?
Yeah. You know? Part of it, you masturbate with them.
Yeah, you masturbate with them. Like there's people that you have legitimate relationships with.
Yeah.
But there's some people that you just fucking never click with.
Well, they're also sort of both. On any level, they're both.
Yeah.
So I've apologized for girlfriends in my mind that have been like rude to waitstaff. And I'm like, yeah, she likes service done right. That's all. But it's like in your head, you're like, come on.
Yeah.
That's an asshole.
Yeah.
And you're ignoring it.
People they grow up with that shit. That's the problem. We're so adaptable. You know, if you look at all the different sort of like crazy cultures and what they condone and don't condone all over the world, and if you think about how similar human beings are genetically, like all over the world, the variation is so small, but yet the behavior patterns are so radically different between, like, you know, like what's going on right now in Bahrain and what's going on right now, you know,
Middle East is amped up.
Yeah,
slight difference makes a huge Hills. Difference.
Yeah. I mean, the same era on Earth, the apocalypse is going on in one place. And another place, you know, you're walking down the street in Bel Air and there's manicured lawns and everyone's friendly and it smells
December
great.
December 4th and
there's
fucking
flowers everywhere.
Yeah, birds are chirping.
You get in your convertible, you drive down to Starbucks, you sit there with your feet up on a chair.
How can there be war? Everything's so great.
I remember it was you, me, Diaz. And I think Duncan might have been with us too. It was one of the days after 9/11 before the plane started flying again.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting around, like outside of a Starbucks or one of those coffee beans or something like that. And we were sitting around just talking about how beautiful it was. Like, how could there be a war right now? Where we're sitting right here in Southern California.
It's so far removed.
It was so beautiful. There was no planes. There was no planes flying around because it was 9/11. So, like, you never got to hear anything fly overhead. And it was, like, way quieter. It was almost like we went back in time for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It was weird, man. You don't realize how often hear fucking planes. Especially, like, if you're anywhere near the airport. Those fucking things are giant. Time.
You ignore it after a while.
Yeah.
That's why whenever you shoot something and the sound guy has to be like, plane, and you're like, what? Dude, I didn't know.
All the time. I'm a wizard at catching that shit.
Yeah. Because you know it's going to ruin the shot.
Yeah, I'll stop people from doing things on Fear Factor. Like, hold on. We got a plane. But yeah, we were sitting around and I remember we were thinking, like, how could there be a war going on somewhere? How could there be a place of such complete disarray that planes are flying into buildings and thousands of people are dying when you and me and Diaz are just sitting here high as fuck, drinking coffee and just kicking back, looking at the sun, you know, looking at this perfect weather. We're too connected with the whole world, man.
Yeah, sometimes, like, there should be just village. Like, we're just here now. We shouldn't worry about what's happening over there. Or a different planet. Or a different, like, whatever. It's like, it's not our star system. We're just having a good time.
The problem is, then, other people form gangs and they take over.
And they invade. That's, just like that Mayan movie.
It's almost like, you know, when people say this, like, Americans, those troops are fighting for our freedom.
Yeah.
They're not. But
they're
they are.
They're not fighting for our freedom.
But they are. Because someone always throughout history has become the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. Someone, whether it was the Greeks or the Romans or the United States of America, somebody had to dictate what the fuck happens. No one ever done it as well as the U.S. has done it, but we've always had to do
it. There's been a guy in charge.
And so the argument is, look, if anybody's going to do it, it should be us. Because let me tell you something.
Humans
as far as the rest of the country,
ruled.
The rest of the world goes, we're about as nice as you can get.
Yeah.
As far as like how we treat our own, this is about as nice as we can get.
I know.
With this kind of power.
But then you think, like, we're the only ones who ever dropped the bomb. We're the only ones that ever did that. We don't trust anybody else with it. When the only person who has a loss on that is us. And we have two. We're 0-2.
What's fucked up is that we dropped two bombs.
Yeah.
we dropped the bomb. And then we're like, I quit. I can't hear you. Yeah. It was like those hack MCs that open up comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Y'all ready for Ari Shaffir?
I can't hear you. Here's my new joke.
Are y'all ready for Ari Shaffir?
Here's my new joke. Tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
I don't just do it now. I don't care. When I'm like, hey, you guys like impressions? And you know how everybody claps? I'm going to go, No, you don't. Why'd you clap at that? You know you don't want them. You don't like them.
It's a good joke. You're telling people what they like. I love it.
Nobody likes impressions. Nobody,
I do.
Everyone claps. I'm like, all right.
Ari, you like different things than other people. There's a man named Rich Little. He made his whole career out of making impressions
in
other people.
In fucking 1830.
How about Danny Gans? Danny Gans before he died of pills, by the way.
No, of stress for having to do impressions all day long, every day. That ate away at his inside.
What are you saying?
Of pills, whatever it was. Yeah, what was he taking the pills for? Because he was in an awesome mood all the time. Sweet art.
Like you said, Ari, you can get addicted to those terrible
little pills. Tyson used to do a great bit about Danny Gans.
He's so fucking big. Danny Gans
only in Vegas. As soon as he steps on the bus to leave Vegas, when it leaves city limits, like Danny Gans is taking the bus away from Vegas, as soon as everybody goes back there and spits in his face.
Isn't that
fuck
funny?
You Gans,
do you have to be like, people have to like qualify his success?
Yeah, well, it's Vegas.
Yeah,
he's only massive. He makes millions a year.
Well, Rita Rudner too, she was one that was kind of struggling a little bit on the road. Like there was a bunch of Margaret Smith was in that category of women, was like really funny women stand-up comics, but at a certain point in time you stopped hearing about them. You know, Margaret Smith was hilarious,
and they went to Vegas.
She was like in the Kinison era. She didn't, but Rudner was from her era. Yeah. And Rudner carved out like a huge career for herself in Vegas. Every time I'm there, I see posters and billboards and shit. She's always like a popular act in Vegas. Yeah, what's also people can look forward to seeing her again. Like so for certain
people. That's why the comedy scene is shit in Vegas, because there's so many great shows at all times. Why don't we go see a local guy? We're seeing legends. There's 10 legends playing at any point right here. What am I going to see?
Yeah, you can go see Bill Cosby.
And if you're locals, you can get two for ones or comps. Yeah, you can see Bill Cosby. Yeah. You can see Joe Rogan. You can see fucking Seinfeld. Whoever you love. I mean,
damn, you just put me in with Seinfeld and Bill Cosby? Holla.
Yeah, that's right.
Your knuckles. You can see a lot of good comedy, man. We were so looking forward to doing that show.
I took off weeks for that.
So sad. And we wound up bringing it to the Ice House.
Can I make an announcement?
Fuck yeah, bitch.
My CD is coming out.
Dun, dun, da-da!
My first ever CD, Revenge for the Holocaust.
Whoa, I like it.
Thank you.
That's a good name, dude.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Is it going to be on iTunes as well?
It's going to be on iTunes September 25th. It goes on sale probably this weekend.
Dude, we're going to...
Or today.
Blow that fucking thing up. It goes on sale today, like online. You can buy it. And then iTunes, when? When's the iTunes?
No, it's up to... It's going up to iTunes today. It'll probably be up there Friday.
Oh, okay.
Available for pre-sale, but September 25th is the official first sale. But here's what I'm doing.
But you can buy a pre-sale. What does that mean?
Start buying it, and then it comes out on the 25th.
Just give me it.
Yeah, I know. Give it to you.
Give it to me?
Yeah. Okay. But
you were really happy with this one, too.
I'm really happy with it. I'm really excited. And the cover, my friend did the cover, and I fucking love it.
Oh, that's dope. I like that. Oh, I like that. He's an evil Jew spider.
Yeah, going after a Hitler spy.
That's beautiful, dude.
But if you go to my website, I'm giving away 4 tracks.
That might be one of my favorite CD covers of
all
time.
It's pretty sweet, right?
I was really thinking if I was a non-comedian, like a kid who really was into comedy like I was at one point in time, if I ever found this in the CD aisle, like at the record store, I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah. I got Ari Shaffir's new shit. Revenge for the Holocaust. I would buy that just out of general principle.
Just out of like,
yeah. If I knew that was a stand-up comic, I had an uncle that used to do that. My uncle Vinny. He would. He's from the era of records, but he would take me to the record store and he goes, "I would just sometimes
look through the album art."
Yeah, he'll buy a record just based on its album art, and I've done that before too, and made horrendous mistakes, especially when it comes to like fantasy art.
Oh yeah, because
swords and
Iron Maiden
shit.
Stuff is so sweet, but their music is like.
I like Iron Maiden. I can get into some Iron Maiden.
It ain't as cool as the art.
The what?
It ain't as cool as their artwork.
Their artwork is
same as Grateful
badass.
Dead. It's like their artwork is way better than. Death Leopard.
Iron Maiden
is
that monster, right?
Yeah.
Eddie.
Coming bat out of hell.
Yeah. Bat out of hell.
And you know what
they
do? That I've never seen. This is what they do. They have a few tour shirts for the year. They will never reproduce that art. They're done selling that shirt forever after that. They have like a North American tour, and it's done.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Keep every selling, year, people want to buy it. Every year, a new shirt. And so now you have a 2010 shirt. Someone else has a 2007 shirt. You're all at fucking the same festival.
I get it, but what if the 2007 shirt is awesome and I want to buy one?
Yeah, I know.
I want to be able to buy the old
collector's items.
I feel like you should just keep selling them.
So I feel crazy. Like that too, but I like something about like we were there and you had to be there to get
it. You know what I don't like about it? You artificially control the supply. Like you decide that we're only going to release 250. Why?
Oh.
If 1,000 people want them, sell 1,000. You crazy fuck. Why are you creating a mad clan?
Yeah, like only get it live. Like, what about the people who can't see you live?
What if a million people want to buy your crazy fucking hat? You're only going to sell 10 hats? This is a limited edition run of 10 hats. Sell all the hats.
Anyway, I'm giving away 4 tracks for free if you go to my website.
Beautiful.
AriTheGreat.com or AriShafir.com. Just go there. I'm honestly really happy with it, and I think if you listen to it, you'll be a fan. So 4 tracks absolutely for free.
Why are you pumping your own shit up like that?
I do like it. I like it.
Let me do it for you.
Okay, help me out.
Ari Shaffir. I've known Ari Shaffir for a long fucking time. And I took Ari on the road with me when Ari was like in that stage of stand-up comedy. Like you were like a couple years in. How many years in were you?
Probably 5.
5 years in.
4 or 5, but I was like
you were there and not. You could have some great nights and you could but I've watched you.
Made rookie mistakes.
Yeah, but you made some fucking great moments too. Rookie mistakes are fine. It's the real problem is the lack of the great moments in with the rookie mistakes.
Right.
And you would have like hilarious bits, and then you would clunk one in there. But that's everybody does that.
Yeah.
You just were trying to find find the footing.
Try to be too out there or too little, whatever it is.
Yeah, we feel yourself pushing a bit too hard. But I've watched you transform into like a real legit headliner. It's been fucking cool, especially over the last couple of years because of doing a lot of podcasts and doing a lot of internet related stuff. You got especially you got really famous for the racist stuff, amazing racist stuff. Yeah. And then from that to seeing your stand up, you put out.
No one ever came to see me from that, though.
Yeah. But
here or there.
But it's all podcast stuff now, right? Yeah. It's all people coming to see you from the podcast.
Yeah, and then remembering that other stuff. And saying, I also liked you when you did that stuff.
And it's people that have come to Vegas when we performed.
I've seen you perform before, too. That helped. That's the best one.
You and I have done thousands of shows. If you stop and think about all the fucking shows that we did in all the different places and all the different Friday nights where we did 2 shows and Saturday nights where we did 2 shows, then we did a show on Sunday, and sometimes we did Thursday too. We did a lot.
We started at 4-day weeks.
Yeah. But I watched. Went to 3 and 2. Yeah, we got too crazy. That's like not a comfortable way to do the road. When you're doing the road that's 4 and 5 days out at a time, it's like, get me fucking home. This is gross. One day.
Yeah.
You got to manage like the uncomfort with the what are you getting out of it?
I've had to do that, but then the problem is this. It's like, I told you, I'll have like 3 weeks, and I'll have like a week off, then I'll have another 3 weeks. I'm like, I need that week off.
Right.
But then the DC Improv calls. And you're like, fuck, I got to go there.
The crazy thing is even the week off, it's like, why not go on stage?
Yeah. Well, that's what I would do at home. I'd go to the Comedy Store and do it there.
Yeah, we have the greatest job in the history of the world. And it's not an easy job. It's hard to figure out how to get really good at it. But once you get good at it, then it becomes easy. And it's the most rewarding shit of all time. Yeah. We did the Ice House this past weekend. We did 2 shows there. And it was fucking sensational.
Yeah.
Fucking sensational. Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Friday is always like a little weird because people are tired, and we do a late show. It's like a 10:30 show on Friday, so it doesn't really start till 11, and people have been like working all day, and then they start drinking. It's hard to like
Friday late's usually the worst
show
of the
week. But they were still great. Yeah. They were still great. Absolutely. And Saturday was off the fucking chain. Saturday was amazing. And Bob Fisher came on stage and brought up a bottle of champagne, and
that's so cool.
He's a sweetheart.
That's a long way from having to hide the fact that you're drinking on stage at the Tempe Improv. Have to put it in a flask and say it's apple juice.
Isn't that the most ridiculous
to having
shit
him bring
time?
On stage to you?
Isn't that the most ridiculous shit, like literally of all time?
You've done some great shows. You've had some great times.
We literally did that. We brought a flask on stage.
He wouldn't let us drink. They said it was a state law or something.
They made up a law.
Because Christians own the place.
They made up a law. It's so stupid. And I had to say to the owner, I said, listen, man. I go, this place is filled with people that want to see us get crazy. Okay, we want to get crazy.
They wouldn't let us drink.
Yeah. I go, I want to do a couple shots.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. I'm here to start a party. I'm here to do a stand-up comedy show. I like to have fun. Let's have some fun. I know what I'm doing, okay? I'm not a child.
And they wouldn't serve it to the green room. And then Red Van got a great idea. And Rogan fucking funded it.
Because we got whiskey in a flask.
Well,
and
we got about a bunch of bottles.
Yeah.
We put in that back corner.
We got fucked up, man.
And then we just kept saying, woo! Can I have some more Coca-Cola,
please? Yeah, we just got blasted on Coca-Cola.
With mixers.
They couldn't figure out what was going on. We were tipping the waitstaff to have $100 for a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, but then somebody ratted you out. And then
well, yeah, it was one of the waitresses. One of the waitresses was, she was a familiar
to the Demon King.
Tell me, what have they done down at the club?
Oh, my God.
This one was alcohol on stage. Nonsense! He is not allowed! Cannot be true!
You remember what he said to me? He
drinks alcohol on stage.
Remember when we got there?
The heretic.
We got there, and we were in the parking lot. Joey Diaz is already inside.
Oh, yeah, he likes getting mad at you.
Yeah, we're in the parking lot a couple minutes early, like, let's smoke a joint.
Yeah.
Then we'll go in.
Yeah.
Diaz, start the show. We'll be in a couple minutes. Do 15.
The music wasn't even on.
I called, like, Dan wants to talk to you. I was like, what? Why? He goes, the fuck? We had to delay the show for 30 minutes because of you. People are standing in the rain. I'm like, what rain? What minutes? What are you talking about?
He would just make shit up.
It was the first time I ever talked back to a club owner. He goes, well, you're not going on this show. And I'm like, I am damn well going on this show. This is the only reason I'm here. Whoa. I don't give a fuck about the money. I'm going on this show.
You almost got that loud.
I didn't get that loud. I said, damn, I'm going on.
Yeah,
you and then I got super worried.
You got like really heartbeaty.
Yeah.
Dan, I'm going on. And then I go, dude, you're going on. Stop it.
That helped a lot.
I was so nervous. Well, at a certain point in time, what we would do, the improvs are like some of the most professionally run clubs in the country. But at a certain point in time, we would take over the room.
That's
what we
do for the way.
Well, we took over the room.
Yeah.
Well, like a lot of clubs you go to, like even when Callan goes on the road, Callan doesn't do it the same way we do it. What Callan does is he goes there and they have an opening act and a middle act that they book.
Yeah.
And he just shows up. He's the headliner. That way he doesn't have to pay as much for, you know, those people's airfare and all the other shit that I pay for.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you don't take over the room that way. Then you have to like deal
just
with
put on a show.
Yeah. Then you're just a part of an act and you're a part of a comedy club experience.
Yeah. It's way more whole fucking night that way.
Yeah. So what we would do is say, listen, we're going to provide the opening act. We're going to provide the middle act. And it's not up to them to say yes or no. It's like, I've got a long, long, long reputation of bringing funny people on the road with me. I always bring headliners on the road with me. So you know it's going to be a top level act. So don't worry about that. And if it's a matter of whether or not, you know, you think my audience can't handle it, well, that's not your, it's not up to you to decide.
Because you brought the whole audience.
Yeah, I brought that's the whole difference. Crowd.
Usually they're dealing with people who, you might bring 20% of the audience, 10%,
He tried to get crazy, but I was like, he can't get crazy. We bought the room. We essentially have a contract. Like, you can't just break the contract because you decide that a guy's late. Like, that's crazy. He's really working for me. I'm a private contractor.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a subcontractor to this contract. We don't make me fucking smack you, bitch.
Yeah.
Sit the fuck down, crazy asshole. He was just a dude who liked to party. And he would come to work the next day with a headache. And, and he'd get just fucking grumpy as shit. Yeah. When I meet a dude like that, honestly, I mean, I love Danny Murr. And I'm not talking about him in particular, because I really never had a problem with that
dude.
He and I never had a problem. Well, you know, he was upset at me once because I came into town to do a theater. And I didn't do his club. But the only reason why I did it is because this radio station promoted it. Like, to me, it was like this radio station had played my Voodoo Panani song. It became like the number one song in Phoenix. So only in Phoenix. Yeah, so they wanted me to come in and do a show for them. Now, I couldn't say no. Nobody, it was like 1999.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I couldn't say no. It's like, nobody ever offered to put me in a theater before. Like, holy shit, this radio station's going
to
take
a gamble. No offense to the other club. I'm sorry. It's not against you.
Yeah, just like, come on.
An offer for something.
Dude, you know, recognize. But when I see a dude who gets like snippy and snappy like that, I get sad, because I know that that's just a person whose chemical system is just completely out of fucking whack.
Jacked.
Yeah, he's just unhealthy. How the fuck could be? There's no way that guy's healthy. That guy's a mess.
Yeah,
he's, you know, his whole system. He was always tired, and you know, when you see people and you know their shit's not flowing well, you just really like, you don't you see that now? Like, when you're eating healthy, you feel how much different your body feels. Yeah.
And of course, it would react the opposite way when you eat the opposite.
Yeah.
Coming on the road with you, probably that, the Comedy Store, and maybe my upbringing were probably the biggest influences on my stand-up. Those three things.
Yeah.
Because seeing those big crowds and then being able to temper it with fucking shitty 8-person rooms at the store.
Well, something happened along the way within the last few years where people started recognizing you.
Yeah.
And they knew to expect you. Whereas I used to bring you up and the real meatheads would be like, where's Rogan? Where's Rogan? Bring Rogan up. The real douchey dudes that I really got rid of almost all of them now.
But then a couple times you found it just here a little by little, a couple people was like, oh, are you going up tonight?
Yeah.
Really excited. I was like, oh, really? You know me ahead of time?
Yeah, and I would see it on the forums and shit. I hope Ari comes with him. And then somewhere along the line, it'd be, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ari Shaffir.
Yeah, I'm all excited for it.
Weird lately, man. Yeah. Those, the Diaz ones that I've been recording.
Oh, my God.
It's like everywhere they're trying to top themselves.
Yeah.
Because now it's become like some sort of a crazy competition. Because in Denver, they went fucking berserk.
Winnipeg in 2010 was the first time I saw that on a large scale level. Because I don't think you've ever played Winnipeg. I've never been back. It was my favorite show of 2010. Yeah. It was crazy. It was
fun, man.
And
that was the only place I could do like that back then.
It was a two or three level place. And they went so crazy while I was on, but I walked on, they, like, as you were saying introduction notes, they were like, they start clapping.
Yeah.
Because they know who it is. I just say credits.
For whatever reason, my comedy took off in Canada before it ever did in America. Like, I would do way better in theaters in Canada. Remember we would do, like, Calgary?
Yeah.
We'd have to do two shows. Well, I did two shows recently. I had two shows at that fucking Jack Singer concert hall.
Yeah.
And we did a show where they sold out, like, an extra, I don't know how many seats, but they had to bring them on stage. So we had people on the stage with us.
Yeah.
But it was like, they gave us the option of that or those people get refunded and they have to go home. I was like, fuck that, man.
We can't let them go out.
I'm like, this is going to be a cool story because these people had, like, babysitters and shit. I mean, who knows what kind of...
They thought they could take the rafters out. Is it behind us, but then they couldn't do that.
It was at least 80 people.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of people.
The stage is humongous. We didn't need it all.
Yeah, it was
fine. If we don't need it all, then we're like, give some to them.
And it became fodder. You know, mm-hmm. It became kind of funny then, you know, you're standing next to someone who's in a chair who's just watching you.
You're trying to act out a hump out. You're in some old lady's face. Yeah, you're like, so sorry about this, ma'am. I've got to do this here.
You're looking at their drink going, that's delicious. What is that? That looks awesome. Is that salted? Oh, nice.
I did Doug Benson's interruption yesterday.
Did you like that?
No, not the interruption. Doug loves movies. And some guy in the front row was bringing out those purple, the grape Twizzlers. And I was like, oh. And he, like, gave me the sign of, like, do you want one? And I, like, nodded. And he threw one up to me. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was delicious. It's one grape Twizzler. You can interact with people.
A solid piece of candy.
Yeah.
It's a good invention. It doesn't taste anything like grape. We were talking about this the other day.
Oh, no.
It tastes like purple. We did that podcast that, like, we've accepted a fake grape taste. For grape soda, grape gum. It doesn't taste anything like a real grape.
Yeah.
But when you eat it, you go, oh, that's grape.
Yeah.
You know, like you accept it as being a fake grape. You know, like cherry soda.
Yeah.
Cherry soda. Unless you're getting some like legit deli cherry soda.
That's maraschino cherry juice. Yeah. That's what that is. It's like candy cherry. Not
really cherries.
Yeah.
Cherry soda's pretty fucking good though, isn't it? Cherry Coke? It's pretty rare. You know, if you're really looking to wreck your fucking immune system and you're eating like a pastrami sandwich with, you know, fucking Thousand Island dressing slopping off the sides of it and you have a cherry Coke, oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
Give me craziness. I want more sugar.
I love it, too, when they're like, well, we don't have the grenadine. Can we pour the juice in? I was like, yeah, pour the juice in.
Oh, God. You go that deep?
Yeah. One time at Denny's, we were all eating there, and I asked her for cherry. I'm like, put the cherry juice in. She didn't know, and she poured the thing out, but it was all the peanuts had, like, leaked over. In their Sunday area.
And so there's
pieces of peanuts floating in it. And I was added, like, what is peanuts doing in here? And then I realized what it was. So she just poured the whole Sunday area thing over to get the cherry juice out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little too much sugar for your system, son.
Oh, not my system.
It's like...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bad for you to drink that much sugar, to eat that much sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar, I keep reading shit about sugar, how bad it is.
I got to try to wean off it.
Why does it taste so goddamn good, though?
Because when I haven't had it in a while, because I eat so much of it, when I haven't had it in a while, I get low blood sugar because I'm used to it now.
You know what, dude? You know what you can't fuck with? Haagen-Dazs chocolate ice cream.
It's delicious.
Holy shit, it's good.
If you invest in a quality ice cream bar or chocolate bar sometimes, when you're like, let me just get Nestle's. Mm-hmm, that's okay, but let me go above and beyond.
Yeah, I'm getting Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, this is done better.
Dude, the Haagen-Dazs bar.
No wonder it's a dollar extra.
Dark chocolate bar. It's dark chocolate on the outside with chocolate on the inside. Oh.
You ever go to a real Haagen-Dazs place where they dip in the chocolate, let it melt right on there for you?
Fuck yes, son.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, and you don't know, by the way, none of you know what ice cream tastes like unless you smoke pot. You think you know what a sundae tastes like. Bitch, you're living in a dream. You're sucking a dick through a roll of toilet paper. You're not feeling it. You're not getting the full experience.
There is no better part of my depression than when I had, where I was taking some medication to let me have hyperphagia, where I would never feel full.
Really?
And I would get stoned and not feel full and just for an hour. Gorge. Just eat syrup and whipped cream, just more and more.
Did you hit the wall?
It was so good. I know, I had to tell myself, you're done.
But what did you feel like? Did you feel like exhausted from all the sugar?
No. You would just get a little more weighed down. Dude, I would eat for 3 hours. I would eat till there's nothing left to eat.
Oh, my God.
It was so good. When you get high, you can finish off anything.
Wow, dude. That seems like dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
To get so you can't get full. Can't your stomach explode? Can't you, like, eat too much
and your stomach explodes? They warn you. So I have to be like, okay, 8 plates of spaghetti. Probably that's enough, right?
Can it break? I mean, your stomach can break, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Do those eater guys, those professional
eaters? You probably barf. You throw up.
I guess.
It's like drinking a gallon of milk. You can't do it because your body would make you throw it up.
Is that true?
That's this rumor.
Really? Well, I guess there's not enough room.
Yeah, and you would want to drink, but then would, like,
you think about how, imagine if you could drink a gallon of milk, what your fucking stomach would look like. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
I bet Joey Diaz could drink a gallon of milk.
We had, and me and David Taylor's talk show, we had Mark Hatchell was going to come in and try to see
if Joey Diaz is a big guy.
I'd be willing to let him try. He's not going to do it.
You don't think he could do it?
He doesn't want to be the human. Like,
no, he wouldn't.
Not going to make fun of my.
He wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But if he wanted to do it, he could do it.
I think he couldn't.
You don't think he could do it?
No. Nope.
So it's a physiological thing. No one can do it.
It's like you can't eat a piece of white bread or 2 pieces of white bread.
What about like a Tim Sylvia? Like a giant dude.
I say no.
You don't think he could do it?
Mm-mm. I even say Big Ben.
Big Ben Rothwell?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He couldn't drink
Oh, no. Nelson? Milk? Who's the guy with the
big Roy Nelson?
Stomach? Yeah.
You don't think he could
drink it? I bet next time we see Roy Nelson, let's try to ask him. Well, he'd be fighting, I guess. So he can't do it when he's fighting.
Yeah, you can't ask him in the middle of that. Or later. You can't say, hey, this is a good fight. Hey, can you drink a gallon of milk? Just totally blow off the fact
that guy. You have an hour to drink it.
Fought to the death against Shane Carwin.
Now that you're not training anymore, can we interest you in filming you drinking? If Nelson is out there, please film that.
Good fight. Listen, man, I have a podcast, and we're regularly number 40 on iTunes, and I'd be willing to actually put this online if you would drink a gallon of milk. Do you think you can drink a gallon of milk?
I say you can't do it. Film the whole thing and watch him start barfing.
Wow. Well, I don't know, man. You and I should be the ones to talk about that, actually, because we were there for the Opie and Anthony Big Bird challenge. Uh-huh. How much do you think that guy drank? Because he was in like the 70 shots.
A double shot. Just one double shot every minute. What's a double shot?
I don't know. What is a double shot? Is like that big? How many ounces is that?
I don't know. We'd have to find out the exact amounts.
He drank 70-something shots of eggnog.
He got over, yeah.
I think that's a gallon, dude.
Maybe.
Seems
Why like do you it. Think that? Just because?
I don't know. I'm totally making it up. It's not like
60 times 2.
I'm completely making it up.
I don't know. Yeah, like it seems like it would be.
I have a fucking clue. I would just think that if I bought a gallon of eggnog and I poured 70 people drinks from it, I would be shocked.
You'd be out of it.
I would be shocked at the economy of this gallon.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did it.
He did it. He drank more than a gallon.
Pat from Wunaki.
Because if you watch the video of Pat from Wunaki hurling, and I'm not going to play anything for you.
Oh, my God.
But you were there live with me.
I was there live.
We were there in the studio.
So was Burr, so was Norton, so was Opie and Anthony.
Was Red Band there, too?
Red Band was not there.
He was not there. Uh-huh. Holy shit, was it crazy.
And the smell. And E-Rock was there.
They had a kid named Pat Duffy. This is what happened, folks. They had this nutty eggnog drinking contest. And Pat from Wunaki, who's a giant of a man. He's an enormous
Club Soda
fella.
Kenny was there.
Another giant of a man. A huge, enormous guy, this Pat from Wunaki. And he's the current champ. So he is keeping his fucking crown, okay? By the way, he's diabetic. So he has to immediately... Oh, he's so crazy.
Oh, by the way.
By the way, that's why Opie and Anthony is the most awesomest radio show in the history of radio. I mean, that's just, who the fuck else would do that? Maybe, well, Stern would do that too. So anyway, they have this fucking guy, Pat from Wunaki, who's, you know, he can only keep it in his system for a certain amount of time. He's got to throw it out. Otherwise,
he has to get rid of it.
He's got to die. He's got to get rid of it because he could die, like, literally from sugar overload.
And he has to go shoot himself in the stomach.
And then there's two, yeah, he has to give himself a shot of insulin. So there's, I mean, a massive amount of shit going on.
But he's still playing. He didn't let that stop him.
He's still winning.
He's still a warrior.
So he says, I'm gonna blow soon. I'm going to blow soon. And then somehow or another, I get this crazy idea where I say, How about somebody leans over the garbage can and opens their mouth and he throws up in your mouth?
Directly into your mouth.
And I'm thinking, there's no way anybody... I'm saying something ridiculous. I'm saying something like when Red Band's on the podcast and he says, why don't you just eat your own poop? He doesn't really mean it. He's just trying to say something completely ridiculous for funny. Okay, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I was thinking, just for a joke, why don't I say...
I have a joke about something. Yeah. You say something as a joke, but they take you completely... Seriously.
Well, this Pat Duffy motherfucker said, I'm game. This guy would do anything. This guy would
silence the room.
He would catch a bullet with his dick. That's how I remember.
Him saying, I game was like a.
We were like, what? And then someone said, I don't remember if they said why it was happening. Who named it the baby?
Somebody
bird?
Else. It might have was been it Vinny, Norton? It might have been Vinny Brand.
It might have been Vinny Brand.
It was someone else was there. Yeah. Some other person was there.
And Burr was there.
Yeah.
And
Burr came in just because he watched it the year before and he said, I want to be a part of that one this year.
Those guys are so, like, no one will understand. If you've ever done like a radio show that's been like rigid and stiff and the people aren't nuts, you'll never understand O&A.
I bought a baby bird t-shirt. I said, fuck it. Yeah. One of the only shirts I'll buy. Man?
Here's another thing that happened on O&A. We convinced Stalker Patty, who's this crazy lady who comes to the studio, who's like a 49-year-old virgin. She's really nuts, too. We convinced her that she was on drugs. We took a... You going to take a leak? No. What are you doing? We convinced her that she had taken a drug, that we had put a drug, and no thanks, man, I'm good, and completely psychosomatic, started having massive hallucinations. So Ari pulls his ball sack out. Your cock and balls or just your balls?
Cock and balls.
Cock and balls.
Could be balls.
And no, I think cock and balls. She was sitting there, we had her completely convinced with like sound effects and shit that she was just tripping her balls off.
They had someone put a rabbit suit on, run around the room once, and then run out. Who was that?
I don't remember, but
it was either Roland or E-Rock. That was one of those two
might
guys.
Have been E-Rock. It was good fun with a crazy person. But what you did to take it to the next level, so you pulled your cock and balls out, which you probably could never do now, because you did this before they got kicked off the air for that Condoleezza Rice thing.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Oh,
that
yeah,
that would
be too rapey for them now.
Yeah, that homeless guy said a lot of crazy shit, like he wanted to rape Condoleezza Rice. And, like, you guys.
He didn't even say that.
What did he say?
He said he wants to love her hard. He wants to love her till she loves it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
it. It was innuendo for rape, possibly.
I hear girls like that. They like it if they love it.
I hear it too when they say, I love when you do that.
They like that. But that's not rape.
Yeah.
Is that what he said for real?
Something like that. Yeah, it was just taken out of context.
I thought he said something way more fucked up than that. I remember it being pretty racy.
And the queen, too. He was going to hold her down and make her love him. The queen. Queen of England. That's a homeless guy.
He's a homeless guy.
Who cares what he says?
Yeah, I just think that's pretty funny. Why would they suspend the show for that? That's so silly.
Yeah, but you gave me a look. I was sitting at the... Because there wasn't enough room. I was sitting on the couch, and you just gave me a look. And it was like, oh, am I welcome to do things here? And those guys, Open Anthony, were so cool that I was like... Because I knew I was only there hanging out with you. But I was like, I think they're okay if I play here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they totally were.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all
there's
about,
never like a level. Yeah. You're not.
That's a good
point. They never do that shit.
Yeah, that's a real good point.
Like, oh, you're a comic? You're a friend of his? Cool. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah. And, well, that's how some of their best guests come about. And then they've made some of their best guests famous. You know, when I first started going to New York, I couldn't get on their show, man.
Really?
I was in Jersey. Yeah, that wasn't known enough. You know, I was doing...
they already had a show back then.
Yeah, they were doing the afternoons. And I would do Rascals Comedy in Jersey. I forget where it was. Orange? West Orange? West Orange. And really nice club. But I, you know, it was hard to get people to come in back then because I was a nobody. I was like headlining, but I was on like hardball. You know what I mean? Like nobody knew who the fuck I was. So I would do a show and it would be half empty. But if you got on Opie and Anthony, you'd pack that place. Like they would always talk about Jay Moore. Jay Moore did Opie and Anthony and it would just pack the fucking club. Yeah. Pack it.
So you just wanted in.
Yeah, I was like, well, if I could get there, God. But I couldn't get on. I didn't have enough clout. So once I started doing it, it was like, it was so fun.
Yeah.
You know, they're nuts, man. They've done some nutty fucking stunts.
But this guy leaned over a trash can, tilted his head back, like he was getting his hair shampooed at a barber.
Pat from Wunaki, all 300-plus pounds of him, this enormous man who has drank, I believe it was 74 shots. And I'm being conservative.
He beat the last guy, then drank a couple more while the other guy got ready.
He kept going. He beat his own record.
And he was like, that's what he did. He went to beat his record, then he goes, all right, it's time.
And then he's like, all right, that's about it. That's all I got. And so this guy actually did what I suggested, this Pat Duffy guy, did lean over the barrel.
Because that was a height of fear factor. Yeah, so it was like a perfect fear factor thing.
Exactly. And Pat Fumunaki did what can only be described as a comic book throw up in this guy's mouth. Like, nowhere in the world has anyone thrown up on a person the way he did it. There's no way it's been done.
There's a still picture, and it looks like he is enveloping the guy, like a spider breaking down with his fluids.
I should also say that Pat Fumunaki also was a competitive eater.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't just win this eggnog challenge. He's done
one stop in the career, the great career of one.
He's had a career in competitive eating where he's been fairly successful. He's an extraordinary man when it comes to volume. So he's got this
killing it.
Fucking this broken fire hydrant spew coming out of his mouth where we're going, no! We're screaming. And it lasts way more than should be real. It seems like it's photoshopped. If we weren't there, and if it wasn't from a bunch of different angles and shitty cell phone footage, I think our version is one of us had a cell phone that was recording it, but it's so crazy.
Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy. The volume is so insane. It's so cartoonish. It's so comic bookish. It's just, it's The Exorcist. I mean, it's insane.
And then after we left and there's barf everywhere, we were out of the studio 10 minutes later. We're like, hey, Ron and Fez, enjoy this smell.
Yeah, no shit.
We just left it to him.
Yeah, in these giant, like, big garbage pails filled with throw up. And there's plastic all over the floor.
Stunk. The air conditioner would come on, and the waft would hit you. And you're like, ugh.
It was chaos. Ugh. It was pre-merger. They had a lot more freedom back then, you know, and that was the regular radio version, right?
Yes. That was FM. Yeah, it was FM. It was K-Rock. K-Rock in New York.
God, that was awesome. That was so much fun. And then the rest of the day, we were like in bliss. Like, we got to see something fucked up. Yay, we saw something fucked up. We were so...
It's the equivalent, I'm realizing this now, when you talked about the bliss room, because we were happy.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of when a girl blows you in the morning.
Whoa.
And the rest of the day, you just feel good.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
It is. It's close to it. Yeah, we had achieved this moment of, like, especially as comedians.
Yay, us.
Yeah, comedians want to see fucked up things. We want to see things that are ridiculous.
Because right after that, we had that whole thing with Jamie Masada from The Laugh Factory. Yeah. Dom just, I did his podcast over there, and he goes, while Jamie's there, he goes, Jamie, how come you don't put Ari on? He's got a follower. Wow. I put him on. I'm like, Jamie, it's cool if you don't, but no, you know you don't. Never here.
Wow.
But like, hilarious. Yeah, but he's like, okay, I'll put you on. Now he's like actively trying to get me in there.
That's beautiful. So, yeah, Dom is completely in our
really,
side.
Really nice of him to do that.
Dom's a good guy, man.
Yeah.
And Dom quits drinking. He quit drinking recently.
Uh-huh.
And he's experienced like this rejuvenation in the way he feels and about stand-up comedy.
Really?
And doing the podcast a few times. Stand-up is, you know, a lot of people coming out to see him from the podcast, you know, that come up to him afterwards. So
that's right.
The quitting the drinking thing is fucking
have him on my podcast.
Giants, man. Oh, yeah, you have him on. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's an interesting dude, too. And Dom Herrera is like the most honest, don't-give-a-fuck guy left on earth. You know, his famous line that I always quote, I wish I was gay just so I could come out of the closet. That's how little I give a fuck.
Anyway, if you go to my website, Ari the Great, 4 free tracks. Go there and get 4 free tracks for nothing.
Are you coming with me afterwards here to go see my studio?
Are you going to see it?
Yeah.
Let's go see that movie.
See it. What movie?
The one you were talking about.
Oh, the Jewish
movie?
The
Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, yeah, I would go see that. Okay, I might have to do some baby shit, though. I've got little girls. I have to remember whether or not I committed to doing anything.
Okay.
You get, sometimes I say, okay, we'll go do that later. And then I don't remember.
Stop thinking about it.
And then my wife has to go, you promised you would do that later. Like, they get mad.
Yeah.
You can't disappoint. You hear that shit?
That came through.
Yeah, they get a little shouty.
Because it means a lot to them. That's the thing I'd be so worried about with kids. Yeah. You make an offhanded statement, and they take it forever.
It doesn't matter. You make sure that you don't disappoint them. it's more of a responsibility, but the reward of it is amazing. It's hard to really wrap your head around, because I've been like you before. You know, I've been single and been like, the last thing I want is a fucking kid. Believe me. I was like the voice of that before.
Here's
you
my new really thing don't I realized,
understand
though.
What it's like until you have that experience.
Okay, but here's, I get that. There is a whole different side of it. And there are benefits that I can't understand.
Right.
And there's negatives that I can't understand either.
Sure.
I can just sort of wrap my head around. But like, what was I going to say? Fuck. Oh, the decision to whether or not you should have a baby should be thought of that. Should be thought of before randomly some girl says, hey, I'm pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
You should already be decided, can we have a baby now or not? Not like, wow, maybe we should do this. That's not the right time to think about it.
Yeah, my, the 2-year-old was the one that we did on purpose.
Yeah.
And it was like planned out and everything. And I was happy for the other daughter as well. I mean, super happy.
I remember when you told me about it as we were playing pool.
It was crazy, but super happy. But planning for one is kind of a different thing. Like, you're planning. Like,
let's how is it different?
Pregnant. And it sounds so gay. We're trying to get pregnant. Like, no, you know, she's trying to get pregnant, stupid.
Yeah.
You're just fucking her.
Right.
You know? What do you mean we're trying to get pregnant? We're pregnant. No, you're not. You're not pregnant.
That's the trade-off.
Shut up.
We have to pay you alimony for fucking 40 years, but we get to say we're pregnant?
It's just some beta shit. It's just some beta shit that men fall into once they get their wife pregnant. And they become just
like
your testosterone drops. It's really, really? Scientific. Proven.
Because you mimic their behavior, sort of.
Well, you become a nester. You know, your testosterone drops when you're around babies, you're around your wife, and it's also try to calm you down to make you a little bit more patient.
Mm-hmm.
Nature knows what the fuck it's doing.
I had a rabbi once in 6th grade, Rabbi not Cracker, but anyway, he said the reason God makes babies cute is so we don't kill them.
I used to do that in my act. I said the reason.
Really?
Oxytocin.
What's oxytocin?
It's something that your brain produces when you see your babies. And it's an incredible feeling of love and connection, this incredible drug. It's the same drug that women that's released in women when they orgasm. And
really?
The joke in my act is that, and then it's to keep you from eating them when you get really hungry. That's the reason why a baby produces oxytocin. Like, when you see them, like, you literally... It
produces that in you, a drug.
Yeah, wow. You literally get drugged. I mean, it's all set up. It's set up so that we keep breeding. It's not an accident that when you're around a chick, your dick gets hard, you get all attracted to her. And
yeah.
Like this girl that has superpowers that you're talking about. You're talking about like a beautiful girl who's like, she just thinks she's got a superpower. She can walk into a room and everybody wants to fuck her. And so she's confused and she acts crazy, but no one cares. They will tolerate anything because she's built like Tracy Lords.
I think there's something to also the chemicals on you or something. There's this new girl that's hanging out at the store. Mm. She's this comic. Mm. And everyone walks by her. And she's not super gorgeous and she doesn't dress slutty or anything.
She's just dirty.
But she's just dirty.
She's a dirty girl.
And everybody walks by her, and everyone's like, what's that girl's deal? Like, I've heard 1,000 comics ask. And it's just, she's exuding something, some chemical.
Yeah, there's girls that are just sexy, man. There's girls that are not that good looking, but they're fucking
sexy. They give you
sexy.
A look. Something comes, I don't know what it is.
And by the way,
it's gotta be studyable, right?
Sex with them is always way better than sex with a girl who's really pretty but not into it.
You want someone to be into
it. Yeah, it's weird what is
even
sexy.
Even if you're chubby, once
not,
the guy's willing to fuck you, let it all out. Don't worry about like, oh, you shouldn't look at this.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let it go.
Let it go, baby.
We're happier there.
If he throws up, he throws up.
Exactly. Ain't gonna.
Yeah. The people used to love those porns where really fat guys would fuck girls. I remember there was a magazine called Sluts and Slobs.
That's what people like looking at? Hot girls getting fucked by slobs?
Yeah, it was one of my favorite all-time
slobs
magazines.
Slobs is such a great word.
Because it was slobs, man.
You're a slob.
It was dudes with like spaghetti stains on tank tops and shit with big fat stomachs.
They were dressed as slobs too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole fantasy was that these dudes were just slinging dick
like
on
a bunch
these,
of Mike Blacks with ketchup.
Way worse than Mike Black. Mike Black's a fairly handsome man. We're talking about like really fucking sweaty guys.
Man. Yeah, dude, we've had some good times on the road. Some crazy
fuck
shit.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Well, the camaraderie that comes from being a stand-up comedian, it's like, it's hard for a lot. Like, we talk about comedy all the time. We talk about the art form of comedy, and a lot of times people are like, why could you guys talk about comedy too much?
I relate to it.
You got to understand that for us, it's like, it sounds so stupid, but it's almost like a sacred topic.
Yeah,
like,
but also there's things you can get from it, too, if you're listening. Like, the way Greg Jackson talks about it, he always asks me questions about stand-up.
Yeah.
He's always like, so what do you do when you're not doing well? What do you do when
he's into mental games.
Yeah, but he's like, he sees the similarities between what he's trying to train and what we're doing in all the arts.
Well, there's a similarity in truth.
Yeah.
And if you don't hit the right notes in comedy, it's clunky and awkward. And
we've all steps on this.
Yeah, we all know that like there's a bit that you've done, everybody's got a bit, that if you heard it today, you would cringe. Because you know it's clunky.
You got into it bad,
right? Well, that used to be like approach that I would use with martial arts techniques. Like I had some bad approaches that I had like when I was a blue belt or a green belt that I would use in a tournament that I would never use as a black belt.
Right.
They're terrible approaches.
They might work, but they're full of mistakes. They're full of
open. You just attack. You go wide open. You can't do that. You have to have feints and you have to have movement. That you have to learn what'll throw a guy off and what doesn't throw a guy off. And there's, you know, moments where you look back on the beginning jokes and it's like, clunky, dog shit material.
Anyone that's listening can relate to that in something they've done where they were bad at something and now they're better.
Because if you're not, you're a bitch. If you've lived your life and never got good at something, what the fuck are you? Yeah, what have you done? You're crazy. You've missed out on what's... Look, it's hard to do shit. It's difficult and it's scary. But that's what friends are for. Friends cushion all that shit. If you've got... You know, one of the things that Randy Couture said, really kind of a cool thing that he said about fighting. He said that if you love your friends and love your family, they're going to love you if you win or lose. You don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But that is something that people think about. Like, you base your worth and your value on winning, and it becomes too much of a big deal to you. It becomes like everything. It becomes your whole life.
I heard this about kids recently. That you shouldn't say good job when they get a good grade or something, because that is unintentionally instilling in them that they are only successful in your eyes or good in their eyes when they're winning.
So when do you want to create a team full of pussies or what? What the fuck are you saying, Shafir?
I'm hearing the baby books.
I think those baby books are written by cunts.
It's possible. Who knows?
Crazy fuckheads. Who don't know shit about raising... I'm just talking shit.
That's crazy.
I think people like to be reinforced. I think positive reinforcement for jobs well done.
But they said what you're supposed to do is job well tried. If they're trying hard, that's what you're supposed to reward.
Nonsense. Success. That sounds like some socialist bullshit put into target by liberals designed to slow down the marathon. Somebody doesn't want to see a sub-3-hour marathon. Whatever. Mile.
Four-minute mile.
A four-minute mile and a three-hour marathon.
Right? I think they all run under 3 minutes.
Paul Ryan character. No, they don't all run.
No, the champions, I mean.
Yeah, like the champions.
220, 230.
But that's why that Paul Ryan dude tried to sneak in that he ran a sub-3-hour marathon. And they called him on it.
He didn't?
No.
It was 358.
It was more than 4 hours. It was documented.
What? Why do the people lie? All of them are so... Are you going to vote this year?
No.
You're not going to?
I'm thinking of not voting.
You've said in the past you think it's all ridiculous.
This is the year.
If you really believe that, then there's no reason to waste your day.
No,
spend another day with your kids.
I think with the electoral college system that's in place, and anybody that's telling me that Obama is better than Mitt Romney, then Mitt Romney's the goddamn Holocaust. If that's what you're telling me, if you tell me that Obama is that Mitt Romney is going to be worse than Obama, when you think about all the shit that's happened in this country to civil liberties over the last couple of years, whether people are aware of it or not, it's almost like this country is tightening up and getting ready for civil war. Like, they're getting scared that there's going to be civil unrest. So they're putting all these things into place where they can spy on you, and all these things in place that are fucking completely un-American and completely unconstitutional. And then they went and rewrote the Constitution. They took out things that you, like posse comitatus, I believe it is, the ability to use the military to stop civil unrest.
Oh,
the
really?
American military.
Instead of police?
Yes. The American military can now be used to stop civil unrest. They can now arrest you for shit, and they don't have to bring it to trial, and they can hold you as long as they want. You have no recourse.
Oh, wow.
And this is all for American citizens.
That's the
citizens.
Stuff we set up so that... So, because someone's going to abuse that power.
Exactly. And
no matter who it is,
someone along
the lines
will. And they say they
will
never use it. And Obama's like, we'll never use this. It doesn't matter.
But
how about
someone that's being born right now who grows up in 40 years to become the president? You're saying he'll never use it?
There's a reason why we had all this shit set up a long time ago to make sure that you didn't involve church and state.
I think we got to rewrite the Constitution.
Of course we do.
We got to rewrite a brand new one. Because that stuff that happened 200 years ago has nothing to do with us.
You can't have a Constitution that was written before the internet. That's nonsense. Yeah. Ability
before
to
electricity,
exchange. Yeah. Well, they knew the concepts of classic societies. They knew they knew the concepts of what was going to cause people to fall apart. What's going to cause people to give in to their id? What's going to cause people to be corrupt and to go wrong? And so they prevented all that shit. They prevented freedom of speech. You got to be able to say whatever the fuck you want to say. You can't stop people from talking. You got to let people express themselves. You got to allow people to protest. You have to allow people to organize. You got to let them be armed.
Yeah.
There's all these things they sent in place because they knew.
Because they know if you get all the arms, we have none, you're going to abuse that.
And that's something that liberal people don't want to accept. The problem in this world is the gun problem. No, the problem in this world is just crazy people.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. You have to allow for that. Yeah. There will be people. You might not, but some people will, and so then you have to defend yourself.
Well, we have to, if that's another sickness in society.
You're not
going to
have a lock on your door.
It's a sickness in society that we have to address. Why are we creating sick people? Why are we creating crazy people? Why are we creating violent people? And that can be resolved with time and education. education and some form of action, some form of social engineering, I believe that you're going to be able to at least cut significantly down on the amount of cunts and douchebags that are developed by civilization. I think if we went from being barbarians to people that live in
way more civilized now.
I mean, it's not obviously close. Right. It's not even close. So if you just extrapolate 100 years into the future, you would assume that things would continue to get easier and easier and easier.
Yeah.
I've got to think that eventually we can, but you know, we're never going to be able to engineer out greed. We're never going to be able to engineer out if someone has complete and total control over an entire city. They will do something terrible. They just
that's human nature. And to say that, well, I would never do that. It's like, hold on. Why would you say you would never do that when so many people have done it? You should say, I'm glad I don't have that power because I probably would abuse it.
Right, because if you look at like what we've done, you know, as a human race, just in military means or by military means over the last decade, how much different is it really than what happened during the days of the barbarian hordes? You know, the numbers are probably more significant. Like, it seems more civilized on the surface, but they're more effective at killing people. They can kill massive numbers of people. Which, like, a bunch of people just died the other day, I think it was in Yemen, where they shot a bunch of civilians with one of those fucking drones, and they just killed 14 people, 14 civilians. I mean, women and children, they're getting jacked constantly by these things. The whole thing, there's thousands of people been killed by these drones.
Wow.
That's
and so they want to outlaw that because that just allows for error too easily and no one has to like feel it.
Well, they want to outlaw there's no significant voice to outlaw these things.
Really? Right now. I've heard people say those that's one of the things I've heard about.
But yeah, not in this country, man. You don't hear Mitt Romney saying it. We're going to stop the drones. We're going to stop those drone attacks.
No. Picketer people say it.
Oh, those people don't have a say.
We don't have any
silly picketer people.
Pete Carbone's joke.
They're going to arrest those people.
He said, do you think President Bush, this is how long it was, he goes, do you think President Bush cares about us protesting the war? He goes, I think he thinks about the protesters the way we feel about the WNBA. Like, sure, it's annoying. But let them feel like they're making a difference.
Oh my God, I can't believe you went there.
Well, Pete Carbone retired from comedy.
Why did he retire?
It wasn't making him happy after a while. He just wasn't making money at it, and he was like, I gotta do something. He didn't want to struggle for fucking 145 spots at the store.
A lot of guys get close. That grind is hard, man.
Yeah.
The grind when you're, especially a grind in L.A.
Yeah.
When you're like one of those up-and-coming comics, you don't even have like road gigs you can pick up for 50 bucks here and there.
You just want time. Yeah. You don't want to perform for free for someone.
Yeah,
I view it as, you know how when they're running and there's an explosion behind you or a tidal wave coming at you,
yeah,
or like the bridge is falling behind you,
yeah,
and people behind you are falling in,
yeah,
but you manage to make it off before it completely collapses.
Yeah,
that's how I view a stand-up comedy, where there's some funny people that just didn't get a living enough to get them going and they fell off the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. We all sucked at it at the beginning. Yeah. It's the reason why you can equate stand-up comedy to martial arts is because it's two things that you have to look at really realistically in order to get better at them.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how to fucking make your way through the maze.
And if you get somebody pregnant early, it's going to be a lot harder.
Fuck yeah, it is.
You know, you might have quit. I almost definitely would have quit if I got somebody pregnant at 26, a year in.
Well, you think you would take some time off for sure.
Who comes back after time off?
Who knows, man? Like, Dana Gould did.
Really?
Yeah, Dana Gould took a long time off. He was writing for The Simpsons.
Yeah, but did he? Yeah.
I think he was raising kids, too. I don't know. I might have made that up. Imagine if he's gay. I'm just making sure.
He was writing for The Simpsons. He's got a dog.
I think he
does have a family. He did my storyteller show once. He was really cool.
He was one of those guys that was around in Boston. He was ahead of me. He was like a couple of years ahead of me.
I don't think he's already come back.
No?
He comes back, like a lot of, like Mary Lynn comes back, but once they give it up, you're never back in it.
Not the same to you.
No, it's just like your heart's not in it. Your performance isn't as good.
Yeah.
Can't do it once in a month.
The people like us that are like real hardcore stand-up fanatics, like we despise people that quit.
Like,
you're quitting, pussy.
We try to be like, oh no, that's cool. I'm glad you're happy.
Oh, you're happy now?
You know we're looking at you like, and
pussy. You're giving up the greatest drug in the world. It's just you can't take the ride. The ride is just too bumpy.
Not even you pussy, but just like, oh, you're not one of us anymore to a degree.
Yeah, how could you not be one of us?
So long.
Yeah, I got to be careful when I'm around guys like Stanhope, rather.
What?
Because I want to start doing mushrooms in front of them.
You want to start doing mushrooms?
Yeah, you're around a guy like that. You'll do mushrooms and drive home.
Yeah. Drive home. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. You're like, I haven't had the training he has.
Yeah, one of our friends, which will go, let's say his name rhymes with Smetty Huavo, was on a crazy mushroom dose, and he was driving home, and the road in front of him turned into flower petals.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's like as he was driving, it's just flowers were flying off of his wheels and flowers were in front of him. Yeah, could you imagine?
I did it once. It wasn't that bad. But just once where I was driving, I thought I was done because I was doing it in someone's apartment. And then I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm going to go home. It's been 5 hours. And then I'm driving, I'm looking at a sign, but it's like that picture behind you. It has a lot of colors. And it just started swimming when I was at the light. Like everything started. And I was like, ah, fuck.
Do, no, no, do, do, do.
I feel like mushrooms is too dangerous to drive on.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's weed, I'll do it. But mushrooms is like.
Yeah, mushrooms are real. It dissipates reality. It gets reality to a place where you're like, I don't know if you can manage this. You might be experiencing something that's absolutely not there at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just drive over a fucking cliff. Think you're on a water ride, you know? And just
yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you never quite lose reality, but you sort of get close. Like, you don't lose where you are 100%. I'm going to Cap City, by the way.
When are you working there?
2 weeks, the 14th, I think. September 14th. Let me see.
Nice.
September
14th. That place is the shit. What days are you there? The
12th through the 15th. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Son.
4 days, yeah.
Dude, 4 days?
Yeah.
The 12th through the 15th? Holy shit. Dude, you're a legit comic now. You are. You're a legit headliner.
I feel like I'm in places now.
You're a legit headliner.
Pretty fucking cool, man.
You're headlining the Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas. That's legit as it gets, man. As a stand-up comedian, that and the Comedy Works in Denver.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about like the independent clubs that are like super legit, Cap City, it's super legit. You're there, you're a real comic.
There's five rooms that I have put on my like my favorite five rooms for like a long time.
Yeah.
The OR, the Comedy Store, Cap City,
yeah.
Denver Comedy Works, DC Improv, just because where's my first road room.
Well, as far as the vibe,
that pot room in Toronto.
Austin might have the best vibe in the history of the universe.
Yeah, it's so cool. That's where we filmed that, what do we call it? My butthole video.
Oh, yeah, when you had a problem.
What do we call it? The Jew Clam video.
Your booty hole.
Yeah.
Problem.
In the green room. Yeah, it's just an awesome. They're cool. They're one of the cities that gets it. They're smart enough to get it, but cool enough to be laid back about it. But
somebody fucked up in that club and painted over all the writing in the green room.
Oh,
like some asshole decided there was too much writing on the wall. You had like 30 years of history.
Who did that?
It was fun to look at, even if you don't know anybody. Some dummy. There was people that were dead that wrote on that wall. A lot of them, including Hedberg.
Who painted over
Some silly bitch. How dare you, you fuckheads. That was historic. It's not as historic as the Atlanta Punchline. Because the Atlanta Punchline has that one thing that says, quit trying to be Hicks.
You know if you write something on a wall, someone's going to write something shitty after it.
Yeah, so many dudes tried to be Hicks. Hicks, as far as like influencing comedians, Hicks influenced comedians the wrong way more than anybody.
Yeah. Kaufman. Kaufman was pretty bad.
Yeah, but... They didn't like go on stage and like self-righteously
preach
to the crowd.
They didn't do that. They didn't think they were better than you because they were trying something experimental.
Yeah. Well, not only that, like it was some shit they just wrote in Popular Science magazine 5 minutes ago and they're yelling at the crowd that they don't know it. Because you're at home watching fucking Roseanne.
Yeah.
You know? Sitting in the couch.
And then they always do that. They always say this. Not a lot of times. They'll be like, oh, too edgy for you? And like, no, idiot. No one laughed because it wasn't funny.
Just sucks, stupid.
Too edgy for you.
You fucking dummy.
Drop an N-bomb on stage 8 times in a row on purpose just for the sake of it.
Just get fucked.
Yeah.
That's just as fake as like fake clean comedy.
Yeah, exactly. I have no thoughts of that.
Yeah. Part of it is, you know, sometimes people don't look at themselves that objectively, so they don't know that what they're putting out there is so stupidly, offensively dumb. They don't know. They don't even know. They're just clunking it. Clunk. Clunk, clunk. It's it's hard when you watch someone go on stage. I worked in Vegas with this guy once. He was supposed to do like 20 minutes. He did 45 minutes, and it was some of the worst fucking comedy I have ever seen in my life. It was so bad that by the time I got on stage, I was like, there's nothing funny. There's nothing is funny.
Oh.
Nothing
you couldn't even
funny.
Believe in funny.
Yeah. It's like when we hang out together, like we do gigs at the Ice House, especially like if we're
I get like that sometimes. I'm in a bored mood. Yeah, but when we're doing that, we're in a good mood.
Yeah, we're shooting the shit and then we go on stage.
And you're like so many things are funny.
Yeah, there's some of the best shows ever.
There's funniness everywhere.
Yeah, but if you're working with someone who sucks it, it's like if you're at a job with someone who's a douchebag. It's the difference between being in a job with someone who's fun. Like if you had to work with Joey Diaz all day, you'd be laughing. I mean, once a month he'd yell at you. But you got to deal with that.
Yeah, but mostly great.
He'll yell at me over like fucking nonsense. The one day that he came in, he was fucking screaming about ranch dressing. fucking ranch dressing.
Somebody gave him ranch.
Well, he was just he made a t-shirt about it. He sold like 1,000 fucking t-shirts. It's blue cheese with wings or go fuck your mother was his famous line. He just gets so mad about blue cheese.
Yeah. Blue cheese, please.
That kind of guy, you know, like that's the kind of, you know, like to be able to hang out with people like that. Like, there's a lot of people that would never understand a guy like that. But for a guy like us, like a stand-up comic is like, it's a buoy in the ocean. Like, it's like you're gravitated towards him to save you.
I mentioned him on O&A. I mentioned Diaz because I was like, Diaz told me this thing once.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, Joey Diaz. How's it? We haven't seen him in forever. They're like, he's so good at telling stories. And I'm like, yeah, he sure fucking is. He sure is.
He's an unusual human. It's so important to find those fucking people.
Yeah.
It's just so hard. It's one thing that I've developed a skill for. I know how to wrangle people together. I know how to wrangle a bunch of cool people together. It's hard. It's hard to find like cool, interesting people. It's hard to like accumulate a book. I've got.
Yeah.
You got to cut all the cunts out. You got to cut them all out. It's like pruning a tree. Yeah.
It's hard. The problem is, it's hard when the cunts are like not somehow related to the cool people.
Oh yeah, that's
probably. And you're like, oh, that's your best friend, a brother, or a best friend. And you're like, oh, so he comes with you, but I don't want him. I just want you.
And he's like snipey. He says snipey shit.
Girlfriend, shitty parents, something like that. Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to hang out with him at all. You don't have to do the actual words. Just.
There's a balance to this world, man. People don't realize it. Those cunty people, their cuntiness is directly proportionate to how happy they are.
I just walk away from them now. I treat them as like wild animals. Yeah. Like if there was a barking dog, I would cross the street before going in front of that yard. It's just like, I'm not going to get through to you.
Dismiss them. Oh, what the fuck is this?
Do you have any interest? I bought a ticket for you of Louis C.K. doing new stuff tonight at the Comedy Store main room.
Ooh, I might be into doing that. I gotta say, we'll get off the podcast.
Okay.
Talk's good shit I gotta do.
Okay. It's at midnight.
Where at midnight? Probably be asleep. Oh, wow. That's pretty late.
Yeah. Huh.
Why is he doing a show at midnight? Is he doing an early show too?
Nope, just a late show. Doors open at 11.
Huh.
I think there was already a show in there, and he goes, I don't want to sell it out late, so fuck it. Let's just do late. Wow. It's also new jokes, so it's.
It's so cool that he's doing that, man.
And he said, you can only buy tickets. Only buy tickets live and with cash so that nobody counterfeits anything.
Whoa.
So the door guys have to like stay there and like sell tickets like in the cover book.
So that nobody counterfeits anything?
He's had to deal with, not counterfeiting, scalping.
Oh.
Yeah, he's had to deal with that a lot, I guess. So he's trying to overcome that with the tickets.
So you have to actually wait in line to buy the tickets?
No, just walk up to the booth, get them.
Oh, but that means there's going to be a line, though. That's annoying. You can't use your credit card?
They put it online, and there was no more than a 3-person line. They were just whipping people through.
Really?
Yeah. And there's an ATM right on the corner, right next to the main room. There's an ATM there.
So see, why don't they just pay in gold?
I don't know. It's so weird. It's like cash. I was like, do I have the cash on me? I guess I do. That sounds like
he's going to get robbed.
Yeah.
What if someone's gangster and they're in that neighborhood? They know there's a lot of cash now, son. You gave up the goods.
Yeah.
Notice that gangster has become a black guy, where it used to be like a...
Italian.
Yeah.
Gangster.
Yeah.
They took it.
They did.
Another thing they've stolen besides our wallets.
Whoa, Ari. That was like...
Sounded too harsh.
That was you were acting.
Besides our wallets.
Insulting me.
I did this guy once. When I didn't know the line, we're talking about rookie mistakes and stuff.
Right.
I didn't know the line of how you can like be mean but say it in a smile. I learned a lot from watching Don Barris when he'd call these grandmothers like filthy whores. But he'd do it with such a smile. I don't know how he exudes this like I'm clearly joking.
Yeah.
And these old ladies would love it. They'd be howling in front of their granddaughter. It was just great. I could always see him do it.
Barris knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he's an experienced performer.
And I would do it sometimes with black people. I'd be like, what's up, black people? But say in a friendly enough way that it was all cool. I remember this one door guy one time saw this black lady in the front row and goes, what's up, you black bitch?
Oh, my God.
I was like, whoa. It queered the room for the entire night. For the next 5 hours, everybody was having weird sets.
Wow. Yeah, that can happen, man. Well, people can be like a little off.
Yeah.
Because it's something fucked up, someone says.
Yeah. So some guy came in one time with his girlfriend. I was on stage at the store in the middle of the showroom. It's fine to come in there. And I was like, hey, what's up? How are you? Nice to see you with your whore. And I was like, ugh. And the guy's like, what the fuck's your problem? And I had to like, damn it, now I'm stuck in this thing.
Yeah, you're just trying to come up with something funny to say. You didn't mean to say
it. It sounded wrong.
Sometimes they come out and you're like, nope, that wasn't it.
That didn't sound,
Especially when you do like what you and I do. It's like you go on stage, there's a lot of fucking around. There's a lot of ad-libbing. And that's how you come up with new material.
Yeah.
you know, to get like the bridges between subjects, like sometimes are different every night,
yeah.
you know, and in doing so.
It keeps it loose and sounding yeah. natural and conversational.
Yeah. And sometimes in doing so, you also create these like weird improvisational paths where you go on some completely new angle. And you're like, oh my God, this is the new part to the bit. This is important. Yeah. So yeah, it's important to me to be able to fuck around. Like, but sometimes, you know, especially when you, you know, if you have a new subject, you're not exactly sure where you're going with yeah. it. You just take a stupid chance, and you're like, "Oh no!"
It's been like 2 minutes on a dark path, and you're like, "Oh, there's a wolf around here. It's gonna eat me. A wolf of boredom on the crowd."
You just get fucking stuck there.
Shit.
Stuck in a shit topic. You ever start a topic and then you're in the middle of it and you want to bail? You're like, no, yeah. And you go, how do I get out of this?
I told somebody that at the Laugh Factory the other day at doing one of their employee shows. I started down a path and I was like, you know what, guys? I don't want to do that. I had this whole thing about this, but I'm gonna talk about something else. Is that cool? And I'm like, yeah, all right.
Wow.
Like,
okay. That's funny.
I was already getting laughs. I was already doing fine, but I was just like, nah.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess it all depends on your level of enthusiasm.
Plus, I got 12 minutes there, and this is a 7-minute bit. So right. it's like, do I want to commit this percentage of this time to this?
What made you decide to bail on it?
I wanted to work on something else.
Oh, okay.
And that was like, I could just do this right now, but it'd be just me just doing it.
Right.
And I need
right.
to work on this other thing. You know, it's fresher, and it's like, that's my plan. I need to develop things, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's the way to go, man. Do you spend a lot of time actually writing?
Not actually writing. I'll write over like little notes.
Get in front of your computer and get high and just start writing.
Yeah.
And just takes a while. And don't try to write jokes.
Just write.
Just write. And just sometimes I write as stand-up and sometimes I write as like if someone was reading a book.
Free conscience.
Yeah. But there's things that come out.
That's what Damon Wayans said. Just start writing. Just start writing, and then we'll see what happens.
Because there's things that come out when you're doing that. There's things that come out.
It makes you put yourself in the place, right?
Yeah. Well, it comes out everywhere. It comes like comedy will come out when you're driving your car. You'll have an idea. Uh-huh. You know, you have to write it down. But when you actually force yourself to sit down and think about things, it's not always that it works.
But you actually put the time in.
Yeah, I got a new bit right now, man, that I'm so fucking happy with.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's destroying. And it's something that I wrote. I wrote on a plane. And it came to me. It's one of the rare moments where it came to me with almost too much stuff. There's too many punchlines. It's just too killer.
Yeah.
There's just too much. It's this subject that I'm really pissed off about. And so it's like a 10-minute subject.
Right.
And I just have to keep remembering it because it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's like, and there's this one, boom, and then this one, bang. Wow. It's like I've got this new, which to me is even more fun.
Well, because you're excited about it. That's why they kill the most. Because like I really feel great about it. There's no acting in me at all. Yeah. It's all pure emotion.
It's pure emotion. And it's right. It's on something. It's got something to it.
Something that set it clear to me a little bit was when Tom was telling me about something Bill Burr told him about writing new material.
Right.
And he was like, how do you write that long? And he broke it down to like 5 minutes a month, which always embarrasses everybody.
Yeah.
But then he was like, where do you come up with stuff? He goes, I don't know. What do you care about? And you're like, yeah, that's it. Just what do you care about?
Yeah.
That's all it is. What's on your mind? What's going on?
Yeah.
Traffic? What do you care about lately?
Yeah.
The fucking line to this place or...
Yeah.
Bad foods you're supposed to eat or not supposed to eat or just whatever.
Right. And you got to be paying enough attention to actually care about something. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's interesting. What's interesting is always where it could just be about
the way your sheets bunch up on you. If that's what really makes you angry or happy or whatever, then that's what you care about. That's okay.
Maybe. So, yeah, you have to be really interesting.
Yeah, you have to be really into that.
Sheets. Yeah. I'd way rather hear about complicated
But like Jim Gaffigan can make bacon funny.
That's true.
For like
Jim Gaffigan can make sheets funny too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for him, it's just not for me or for you.
Right.
It wouldn't work. But yeah, it's what, you know, and that's what defines you as makes you interesting or not. It's like, what kind of things
are interesting? These are the things that are on my mind.
That's what I'm talking about, son. Stand-up comedy. Ari Shaffir, Cap City Comedy Club, this September, what? What are the days?
It's the 12th through the 15th.
Keep it together, motherfuckers.
Man.
It's a dark road out there, ladies and gentlemen, but we're all on it. It's not even dark. It's actually pretty awesome. If you lived in the 1500s,
Corpus Christi, Dallas,
and somebody could transport you to today, you Portland. Think you're living in a fucking dream.
Oh, yeah, it'd be totally different.
High dice, bitches. Medicine. How about just penicillin? How about when you have sex with a dirty prostitute, you don't die? Wouldn't that be sweet? Wouldn't that be sweet if you just didn't die?
Yeah, one day we'll have, like, you'll catch, like, gonorrhea, and instead of having to jab that thing in you,
get gonorrhea gum.
They rave the wand over you, like Star Trek?
It'll be an app on your cell phone. You stick your cell phone near your dick, and it'll cure it.
Yeah.
It'll zap it. It's ridiculous. We live in the best fucking time ever, and everyone's depressed. Why? Because look at our future. It's fucking Mitt Romney guy. He's going to win, too. White people are angry.
You think Mitt Romney's going to win?
It's fucking, that's how the play is supposed to play out.
You think so?
It doesn't matter. Corporations win, no matter who's in place. And that's the only reason why
corporations win.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Corporations are winning. What really matters, man, is state and local elections.
And your friends and people you care about. Yes.
And what you do for a living, you dirty bitches.
Enjoy yourselves, because you're not going to make a big difference in the fucking
legal system. You're still just a person. You know?
Yeah, you're just one dude, and you'll be dead and gone forever. So enjoy it while you're here.
The only way we can make a difference is talking about shit and having a new generation of people who don't grow up to become the cunts that the people that are running this country are. That's the only way. It's the only way. So by this conversation, by this podcast alone, you influence the youth, Ari Shaffir, and set them in a good direction.
I should also influence you on Yom Kippur. Please get my album, Revenge for the Holocaust.
What a perfect time to launch a comedy album with you as a spider with a star of David.
Jew spider finding
killing Hitler. And that's going to be available on iTunes, and AriTheGreat.com is his website. Is that your website or Ari?
AriTheGreat.com. They're both there. Same
site. You go to the same thing?
Yeah.
I like Ari the Great, though. It's a cool thing to
write. But yeah, I'm sending you 4 MP3s.
Me?
Anybody who goes to my website
wants them. Well, go to Ari Shaffir's website, AriTheGreat.com, and get yourself some fucking MP3s. It's some solid goddamn stand-up comedy from one of the best in the country. Thanks, I've seen him develop from a goddamn
comedy
to a real professional.
Do you feel fatherly like that at all?
No. I'm happy as a friend, though. I think it's awesome as fuck.
You must. I asked my rabbis about this. Like, when you come to Israel and then people start to get more religious, do you feel like you've accomplished something? And he's like, yeah, you do. He's like, you helped build something.
Well, I definitely am happy when I'm around comedians and I give them advice and they get better.
Yeah.
But not everybody listens. You listen better than anybody that ever took on the road with me. If I would tell you, I'm like, you got too many words in that, man, you would like, you're right, fuck. And you would just go chop it up and think about it and redo things. You know, people have told me things that I didn't want to hear. Yeah. And some of them I fought and some of them I listened to. Some of them were uncomfortable. But ultimately, people, especially in the beginning, can like point things out to you. It's up to you whether or not you can see them and listen.
Somebody told me that. I was looking down the whole time.
Yeah.
Mark Madison told me that.
I used to do that too.
Look up. You're talking to the crowd. I was like, oh yeah. And it helps. Just little things. I'm like, maybe you're right. Instead of, fuck you. You don't know what they're talking about.
I looked down way too much for a long time. I did it for years.
Yeah. Just think, what if it's not good or bad that you do that?
Yeah.
That you were wrong in the past. What if it's just you can improve?
Yeah.
Just do it like that.
But you were really good at listening. You were really good at changing too, taking chances. You know, thanks. That's why you're still producing like constant new material. And if there's anything that always bugs us about someone that we know, it's a guy who's got the same jokes. 10 years. Come it's on, it's sad. It's like, man, you don't have anything new to say. You gotta have some new shit, like, man.
That was good. I've heard
you
it.
Got to have some new shit. You know,
That's the reason I shaved my beard is because Dice was the last straw.
Yeah,
he was like, shave your beard. I was like, why? He's like, for your act. And I was like, whoa. And then I was like, instead of like, you're a doofus, Dice, like he always is,
right.
I was like, if Andrew Dice Clay, the legend of Andrew Dice Clay, is telling me that it's good for my act, I'm like, hey, why? And he goes, you're expressive and people can't see your expressions. And I was like,
it doesn't make sense.
It's gone.
But
I don't want to stop that.
You look like a crazy dirtbag with that crazy beard, and I think that might be worth more.
That might be
more.
Nice also.
That might be worth more.
You can see my expressions. The whole beard moves.
Yeah, I don't think Dice gets that.
I wanted to get rid of it anyway.
Bearded dirtbag look.
Yeah.
You definitely look younger. Isn't it weird? You look younger. Everybody always says that when you shave your beard, you look younger, but you really do. For whatever reason, it's more innocent. Babies are crying. Shit's going on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will join Freeway Ricky Ross, the real Rick Ross. He's joining us again on the podcast.
Every day he's hustling.
That's the fake Rick Ross.
Yeah, you got the real one.
We got the real one. The guy who this guy pretends to be. The guy who went to jail for selling cocaine.
That's going to be cool.
Whose cocaine sales funded the Conchas versus the Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
What?
Yeah. That's how that's the whole Ollie North thing. They were funneling, they were selling drugs and
to raise money for it?
Uh-huh.
Like having a bake sale?
Exactly.
Well, but with Coke?
With Coke. And they would get the Coke.
Bravo, America. Way to think outside the box.
They would get the Coke to the poor communities.
Wow.
And
everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Oh!
And then we all go dancing.
And so this guy got out of jail, and there's a rapper that's got his name. I mean, his name is Rick Ross, and he was Freeway Rick Ross. He was known as being this huge. I mean, I remember.
You can ask me if he killed anybody ever?
No, I'm
you're never gonna
disrespectful.
Okay,
I wouldn't do that. But the guy has been in the, you know, he was in the drug trade for years, got all over the news. I mean, it was like a big deal. It's like one of those things, like when rappers call themselves Capone. Uh-huh. You know, like Matt Capone.
Is he the one that was on Time magazine with like drugs?
I don't think
like holding him up. But that's when the government was like, go after that guy.
I don't think so.
Oh,
I don't think that's the case. He was trying to stay like as low key as possible, but he got busted. But the story is just insane that he's got a rapper he's out and free, and there's a rapper out there
with his name.
Yeah, and so he's like trying to sue the rapper.
Not just the same name, like no, it's my personality you're taking.
Yeah, well, not only was even crazier, the rapper used to be a corrections officer.
Oh, really?
He was a prison guard, which is really nutty.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is crazy.
He's billing his album as like the greatest thing of all time.
He's on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. Look around right there, right behind you. Look at that Rolling Stone. You see that Rolling Stone? Oh, yeah. That's him, man. I bought that Gangster Rolling Stone love. Just for the real Rick Ross, because to talk about it.
He's got tattoos of Abraham Lincoln from the dollar bill for the five, and George Washington from the one.
Yeah, that's a new thing that black dudes are doing. Is they're covering their whole bodies with
Tripoli
tattoos.
Says it, and I agree. Black dudes look better in tats.
But this is a weird
thing. It goes with the skin better.
The rapper thing where they cover everything, and they cover their face. And they
down
cover
the back of his palm.
Yeah, all tatted up.
It's got a weed leaf on it.
But that didn't exist before. Isn't that weird? You go back to like the Superfly days.
Because they have to keep outdoing each other.
Mm.
I did a joke that never was able to work, but it's like every fucking grandmother has a tattoo now. Yeah. It's not a big deal. So now what we're going to have to do is go to the next stage. Which is what the ear things, you know, the ear thing they push out?
Yeah.
And so then that's going to become blasé. And then we're going to have to do the plates that the African people had in their necks. We're going to see that in our lifetime. Someone's going to have the plates.
Black dudes are like, especially famous dudes, are doing a lot of face tattoos.
Yeah.
A lot of like stars and shit. And like,
I like it. It's like, dude, fuck it. I'm not going to have a regular job.
One dude got an ice cream cone on his face.
Yeah, I remember that.
Who's that guy?
Some rapper.
Yeah.
It's not a white thing.
No. Well, you could.
You could.
Yeah, you know, you'd be. There was a guy, a bodybuilder that I saw at the airport that had a whole face tattoo. He had a Tyson thing, one of those New Zealand Tyson tattoo things.
Siguri did a great joke about it. It was like, if you get a face tattoo, because you want no interaction with any other human forever. Yeah. Something along those lines.
Something along those lines. I mean, yeah, it's obvious.
You want to scare everyone you come in contact with that.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it weird? We have certain spots in our body that mean certain things. If you start tattooing your face,
we've all agreed. No, no.
You're getting nutty, son.
But over here on the wrist, that's okay.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's cute.
The ankle, it's cute. It's sweet. You know, the chain link around the bicep.
Yeah, that one. Chain link, you can't get in these ribs.
Yo, bro, that shit's solid steel, dog. Yeah,
barbed wire.
Solid steel dog. AriTheGreat.com, you dirty bitches. Follow Ari on Twitter, Ari Shafir with two F's. That's ARISHAFFIR. Dude,
thank you.
Good luck with the CD. And,
thanks. I got like 10 weeks on the road coming up. Check my website for all of them.
When are you leaving for the road?
I got a wedding this weekend, but then the next one is the 12th or the 14th.
Are you gone like weeks at a time? Are you going to do that thing? Or are you going
to
come back?
I'm doing it once. I'm doing Toronto and then straight to Indianapolis. That's a 10-day run, but the rest of them are all back.
See
for a
if you
day
can come in right before Toronto. Maybe we can. Are you going to be here at all?
Yeah, right before Toronto.
Weekdays?
Yeah, I got 3 days before that.
Let's do that. Let's do another one. Let's do another podcast because that's right before. And by the way, I'll have my studio up and running by then.
Okay.
At least the beginnings of it. Any input you got on Twitter? Anybody who knows anything about building a studio? Because I got a dope ass office space now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to.
Nice. I want to see it.
Oh, it's gonna be killer, dude.
Or maybe awesome. That Tuesday after Punch Drunk.
I can't wait to have like a. It's gonna be like a Ravenite social club sort of a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Just, what do you mean? Like just the way you said it. Like have loungy places and have beers and
have
a fridge,
pool table there.
Cool. Like
I'm a pool table there, couch, big screen TV. I'm gonna have it a real cool spot, and then I'm gonna have the studio like where everybody sits down as comfortable as possible. I think we figured it out now. I think in doing the Ice House studio and doing this studio and you know doing like Duncan setup and doing my old setup, we know what you need now.
Yeah. It's like the way they brought Todd Glass in to tell him how to build Helium or different clubs.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I know what's necessary. Yes. Please trust me. I've been through it.
Yeah. So I waited till
comfort.
And you can't have like loungy chairs. You got to have office chairs.
Yeah, too far back.
These are the kind of chairs.
Yeah,
and these microphones are real good, but the better ones are these other ones that I got here. Just fucking
Yeah, these are a little weird.
Shores.
It's tough because
Shores are like less directional. This is has too much of a sweet spot. And then there's another one that, Don Imus uses. This thing right here. It's got a built-in sound guard. I'm gonna try these next. Okay. And these are the ones we have at the Ice House, but I'm also going to try, there's ones that I saw on the Don Imus show. I forget the names of them, but they are supposed to be the best for that kind of shit, for radio, and you don't have to put a windscreen over them, and maybe you get a clearer sound. Some people don't like the windscreen because it's like it gives you like a little bit of a filtered sound.
Echoey sound.
Like Kevin Smith, he takes the windscreen off when he came over
here. He doesn't get that all that...
No, he knows how to do it. He knows how to manage it, but it just feels like it's really him that way. Otherwise, this is like a muted...
I don't like the headphones sometimes.
Why is that?
Well, one, they hurt my ears if I have my glasses on.
So do you hear a difference between this and this? Is there a difference? Oh, yeah, there's a total difference.
Yeah,
this sounds better, actually.
Sounds clear.
God damn it, these fucking stupid condoms. You know why I got these?
Say Pete Piper, Pat's a Piper, whatever. Say something like that with a lot of P's or T's in it.
Peter Piper packed of pickle peppers.
Yeah, it sounds better. It's a little pop, but not much.
But it sounds like a real person, right?
Yeah. I mean, the mic you use on stage doesn't have windscreens.
Sometimes they do.
On top of, yeah, you're right.
But those aren't good. Yeah, this sucks.
Maren told me to get my windscreens on. Maybe I'll try it with
that. Maren told you to get something? He probably told you to get the second best thing. Probably held back whatever the first best thing was.
Oh, no. He was very, very nice about it. I want no part of this. He was very forthcoming.
I'm kidding. Maren and I are friends now. Last time I saw him, I gave him a hug.
Me and Bert saw him last night at the UCB, and Bert said it. He goes, if Mark Maron is the nicest person there, something's wrong. There's an attitude going on.
Yeah, everybody says that about the UCB. I don't go there.
I don't know how much perceived.
I've been there before.
Yeah,
but I remember reading like something somewhere where it was like a forum blog or something like that, or a forum post where someone said, "Why is Joe Rogan at the UCB?" It's like,
oh yeah, we did that once.
What was that? That's so weird. Like,
it was Matt put it together. It was just like a good show.
That's not what I mean. I mean, it's like it's so weird that there's a type.
But they know about this type goes here and that type goes there. And you're like, dude, there's a lot of overlap. Brody Stevens is everywhere.
It's so silly. It's just so silly, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people were surprised.
Ian Edwards really broke it down to me.
Yeah?
I met him. I was opening for Pauly doing that sketch movie. That
that hurts just hearing it.
Yeah.
Take your condom off after you service. Feel dirty.
That comics, Natural Born Comics, whatever that video
take
was.
Take that thing off. Take
the condom off. Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's better.
And you can see where you have to talk into, too.
Fuck these things, man.
But I saw him, and he did the Orlando Improv and the Miami Improv, mainstream clubs. And he was very funny at those clubs. And then I heard he's going to the UCB on their big alternative night. And I was like, really? You're performing there? He goes, I do all the time. I didn't know he'd come from New York. He'd been there forever. And I'm like, well, what kind of material do you do in front of those people? And he stopped, and he goes, dude, crowds is crowds.
It's true.
They don't care. And I was like, whoa.
For the most part. But you know what? A lot of the people, they do get a little elitist if they would.
There's a few of them. And the ones that write online and stuff. Yeah. But there's also crowds don't know. If they figure if you're there, you're supposed to be there. And they'll be like, cool, we'll laugh. They don't really give a shit.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody would restrict themselves to one type of comedy. Yeah. You know, I've always been a fan. I mean, I think anybody who knows this podcast knows that I'm a fan of some pretty crazy science and extraordinary ideas when it comes to quantum physics and the nature of the universe and nature of reality. I like a lot of like pretty heady, twisted up, deep shit about just the very nature of matter itself. But I love stupid comedy.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, sure.
It's fun.
My first MC week for this guy, Brett Leak. Do you remember him?
Brett Leak. I remember the name.
He had muscular dystrophy, and then it got like worse and worse.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a killer observational comic.
Oh, really?
Did Tonight Show probably 10, 15 times. But he said it was him, and then some lady who did relationship comedy in the middle, and then me being filthy emceeing. And he goes, I like a different kind of show.
Yeah.
So the DC Improv. And he goes, I like three different people, so nobody overlaps.
Yeah, I agree, man. I'm not into the same kind of comedy all the time. I like a Mitch Hedberg who was like squeaky clean. And then Hedberg? I like, squeaky
I guess
clean.
He was, huh?
And then I like Joey Diaz
was
talking
Hedberg
about
really clean. Yeah,
and
I
like
he
Joey
was.
Diaz talking about pinching a foil out of some girl's asshole.
Oh, yeah,
he's banging her the ass, and he felt foil at the tip of his dick.
Foil.
So he reached in with his fingers, pulled it out, put it on his desk, and put his dick back in. He's just the craziest motherfucker of all time. Every time I'm with him, I just have this big smile. Like, I can't believe this guy's my friend.
He gets you going. Oh, this is what Bert said. So he's meeting him for coffee,
right?
And he goes, other people come up. And he goes, I think he just sits there all day long and like has people come meet him. And just throughout the day, he just sits like an old Italian guy.
Who was it?
Drinking coffee.
Met?
Bert Kreischer.
Met who?
Joey Diaz.
Oh, where?
In the valley somewhere in NoHo.
Oh, that's hilarious. But no, Joey can't sit still for very long. He's got shit to do.
Maybe.
He might have done it for
but he
few
takes
hours.
His phone calls and right. he fucking, not text, he doesn't text, but he calls. What you doing, okay? The 1 minute phone calls he's a king of.
He's a legit businessman, though. You got to think about that now. Joey's got like real money. He's doing great on the road. Joey is killing them on the road.
He convinced me to put that last storyteller show online.
Yeah, no.
Just, it goes, just put it, just $2, just throw it up.
It's beautiful.
Why not?
It's beautiful. Well, you know, seeing him get to number one on iTunes was fucking incredible. Yeah. He sold like 35,000-40,000 copies of that CD just for himself. Yeah, and by the way, he's selling these testicle testaments. He's selling these other things on iTunes, which are fucking fantastic.
He does and a new hour and a half to 2 hours of story on something every month.
And they're fucking tremendous. And they're great if you're in your car and you're driving to work or something.
Oh,
like
God.
That, slap one of those on. You'll just have a big stupid smile on your face.
It's half hilarious and half like really deep shit.
Yeah, he's awesome. Listen, we're lucky, man. We're lucky we know a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
We are, for sure. Where are you at this weekend?
I'm at a wedding.
Oh,
Cape Cod. I'm at the Comedy Store in the Factory on
Cape
Friday.
Cape Cod, Massachusetts?
Uh-huh.
Somebody made you go across the country for their stupid fucking voodoo ceremony?
I know the bride and the groom, but I know. I felt bad about it.
Jesus. Are you going to bring breast strips?
I'm going to bring marijuana.
A lot of marijuana?
Yeah. I told them, too. I was like, you know, I'm going to be on drugs on there. And they're like, absolutely.
They knew it?
It's casual.
They knew you were going to be high?
Yeah.
You going to have an edible?
Probably not super strong. I don't want to get bonkers, but
you don't want to get social anxiety.
But I don't want to fucking have the social anxiety. No, that's if I don't go on something, I'll have it.
Yeah, you want to be high enough where it's cute.
I can relax.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, this is sweet. Yeah. They're getting married.
Maybe I'll cry when they say I'm a romantic. Even though I don't believe in that shit, I'm still like something tugs at me when I see it.
Once in your life, you find a. Yeah, no, you are, man. You're a sweetie. I've seen you with chicks too. You're a very affectionate guy.
Yeah.
A lot of people would think that Ari Shaffir's got a cold heart.
I'm not all dicks.
It's not. He's just been battered around a few times, and he's a little bruised on the outside. But deep inside.
Somebody asked me this recently. They're like, who hurt you? And I'm like, all of them. Every one of them. Is that what you want to hear? They all made me who I am.
Okay, write that down and say that on stage. That's very important. You need to write that down.
Somebody remind me.
That's a bit. Yeah. We'll get off this fucking podcast.
I carry notebooks now. It's easier
write
to
write that down. Write that down. All of them. Who hurt you? All of them. Are you happy? All of them. All right, you fucking dirty freaks. Tomorrow, the real Rick Ross and Brian Redband will return
Revenge
as well.
For the Holocaust, September 25th.
Buy that shit. You know what to do, you freaks. What is it? How much is it?
$7.99.
Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen.
On iTunes.
Go buy that shit. That's it. The fucking show's over, you freaks.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Always good time, man. Thanks to Ting.com for hooking us up.
Ting.
Yeah, sorry, Ting. We kind of fucked you.
I will tell you this. I'll help make it up. I will give serious thought to Ting. I'm done with my fucking Verizon contract now, and I was waiting for the new iPhone to come out, but if I get one of those Samsungs before they go off the market.
Yeah, get this before Apple fucks them. Because they're going to. This thing is the shit, man. I'm
like, give me that ass.
It's really huge. I'm enjoying the size.
Yeah.
Like for
but it's not. It's things thinner than the iPhone.
It's definitely thinner. It's definitely thinner this way.
Yeah.
It's just wider. I don't know anything about it, like battery life or anything yet.
You just got it.
Yeah, I'm totally talking out of my ass. I'm just like, ooh. I've done nothing. Go take your piss, son. I haven't done nothing like where I could tell you that this is an awesome device, but it looks dope as fuck. All right, folks. So go to rogan.ting.com, and when you go there and you sign up, you'll get a $50 credit towards a new device. And like I said, we're only supporting things on this show that we 100% believe in, whether it's going to deskquad.tv and buying t-shirts to support Brian Redband and the podcast network, whether it's to go to ting.com and support them. Ting is a company. We believe in their philosophy, and we're behind it. Onnit.com, we're behind them 100%. I'm a part owner in Onnit because I love the philosophy behind the organization, and I love what the idea of selling things that I buy and things that I absolutely 100% enjoy and benefit from, like Alpha Brain and Shroom Tech and New Mood and the Hemp Force protein powder, which is my favorite protein powder on earth, and kettlebells and battle ropes, which you know I do all day because I'm manly as fuck. So go to onnit.com, that's O-N-N-I-T, and if you use the code name Rogan, you will get 10% off any and all supplements. And that's it. So go to deskquad.tv, go buy yourself some fucking shirts. Go to hireprimate.com if you want, hire-primate.com. That's my t-shirt company. And I have a bunch of different t-shirts, including a Joey Diaz, if you're not high by 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon, go fuck yourself t-shirt. That's available at Onnit. We just restocked, and that money, of course, goes to a big part of it, to the great one, Joe Diaz. So your support,
can
Joe Diaz.
Can we get a Worst of the Whites t-shirt?
Worst of the Whites? Yeah, that's for you. Yeah. That should be. Who would you say, the Italians were the Worst of the Whites?
No. The Persians? Armenians.
Armenians, the Worst of the Whites. I don't think you want to make that in a t-shirt form. Armenians will fuck you up, man. I love Armenians, man. They will fuck you up. They're some wild people. Yeah, you need a better saying. Yeah, but for you, yeah, we definitely should put out an Ari Shaffir t-shirt. What it should be? If you're going to have an Ari Shaffir t-shirt, you must have said something fucked up. You know what? People contact us on Twitter. Tell us the most fucked up thing. Because sometimes people put things like in message board posts, in quotes, or on Twitter in quotes.
And you're like, whoa.
But I completely forgot I said.
What was the context of that? I write people. What was the context? Yeah. What was that about?
Yeah, well, we appreciate the fuck out of it. I say this all the time, but I only say it because it's 100% true. The thing that I'm most blown away by is the amount of fucking cool people that we meet at these shows. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't know how it all happened, but I do know that we're truly thankful. And
yeah, you meet a lot of cool people.
I want to say humbled by it, but it is the word. It's like, whoa, like these are this. Everywhere we go, everybody says the same thing. These are the nicest crowds, the most generous crowds.
They always tip well. They drink well and tip well.
Look, we're happy as fuck that we're connecting with you guys like that. And then every message that I get where people say, hey, man, because of you, I started drinking kale shakes in the morning. I lost 50 pounds. I'm working out for the first time.
Sometimes
I started taking
jiu-jitsu. Sometimes it's just overcoming like, the drive to not change.
Yes.
And then once you overcome, like, oh, what was I resisting?
Yeah, what am I resisting? And it's also having people in this conversation. They tune in and they're a part of it, even though they're not saying anything. They might be saying something in their car. They're like, yeah, fucking that fucking bitch. That guy's an asshole.
There's a lot of people live in a town of 2,000 and there's four cool people there.
Yes.
And they tune into this and say, oh, fine, someone else is out there like this.
We recognize that this is an important part of your life. This fucking show will always remain free. This show will always remain completely uncensored. If I tell you something, it's because I believe it, even if I'm wrong. I believe that shit. Go to the Lobero Theater this Saturday night or this Friday night in Santa Barbara. Duncan Trussell just added to the show. We are so not fucking around. That is the Lobero Theater in Sacramento, or in Santa Barbara rather. This someone's calling me. Who the fuck is calling me? Bob Fisher from the Ice House. Powerful Ice House.
Powerful.
That's it, folks. We will see you tomorrow from the Ice House, ironically, with the real Rick Ross. Onnit.com, use code name Rogan.
And by the way, you guys, the way you give back to us is by coming to our shows.
Yeah, listen, we love that.
That's the biggest payback
we
can ever get.
And by the way, quite honestly, that's a nice absolute benefit. The biggest benefit for True is knowing that people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, when I run into people, even that don't come to my shows, if I run into them at the mall or something like that, and like, dude, I'm a huge podcast fan, that makes me feel fucking great. If I'm doing something and you're enjoying it, I'm happy. That's how I believe life should be. All right, you fucking freaks. This show's over.
Peace, love, and mushrooms.
Peace, love, mushrooms. Go fuck yourself. I don't even have any
We're bad at going out, right?
I don't even have any controversial I don't have any controversial sponsors anymore, so when I end these things...
Invade Argentina.
And Argentina's filled with nice people. The fuck, man?
I don't know. I'm trying to say
Listen, you freaks. We love you. We love the shit out of you. All right? We'll see you soon.